So what's the plan? All right. Log in tonight from your computers at precisely 7:30. We will meet here on the plains of the Elwynn Forest near Westville. My friends, to victory!
To victory!
I don't play World of Warcraft.
Butters, you said you're on your computer all the time.
Yeah, but I'm playing Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Butters, go buy World of Warcraft, install it on your computer, and join the online sensation before we all murder you.
All right then.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much of that game, it was
nuts. If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
I don't even know what day it is. It's October 15th, 2006, and this is episode 133. You can go to the website at hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And you can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. I apologize, it's been so many weeks since we've managed to get a show in there, actually. But before we get going, we've got Ribo here, Dr. Flavin, in the house. I have to ask you a question, though, before we get going. Do you play games?
Next question.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to say is I'm back from vacation, and I had to mention this. It has nothing to do with the show, but Slackware 11 came out, and I'm a happy camper. So we can just blow right over that. I had to mention it. Any other special little topics or anything I should apologize for? We missed last week because I forgot why. I was on vacation, and I was gone for vacation. The week before that, I was
then
tired.
And you were sick again? Again?
I was not sick. I'm telling you, I was not sick. I was tired.
Right. Okay.
Let's jump into the email then. Hey, you don't even play video games, okay? Why are you here?
I'm here to give you shit. That's my job.
Awesome. That's what we need. More people giving me crap for not doing the show. Our first email from Mars R. Knight. As the topic of the email was Metroid, and I was kind of scared reading this email because it starts out with, "Gah, how dare you trash Metroid?" And I remember a couple weeks ago, like a month ago on the last show, and I was saying bad things about Metroid and the Wii.
Right, you didn't like anything but like the original Metroid, and even that, not that much.
Right. So, let's see here. How dare you trash Metroid? I'm going to send you a fruit basket. It's about time someone said it, and not just the Metroid stuff, but the Wii stuff too. Everyone is all up in hype, and it's nice to see your feet are on the ground. Keep up the show. It's freaking sweet. Oh, but make sure Kobar's there too, because the solo show, although better than nothing, the show is honestly one of the highlights of my week, and I've missed many an hour of sleep listening to it. Wasn't as supreme as the shows, but both of you guys tend to be. Anyway, I'm pressed for time. Gotta get to class, so just keep the shows coming. I'm hooked. Oh, I've hooked nearly a dozen people in my dorm. Your global empire will expand and take over all other forms of media from Mars R. Knight. Now, let's talk about this for a minute, the Wii.
Okay.
You too, Dr. Flavin.
Yes.
I want to hear some feelings on the Wii, because apparently I'm not the only person here who feels that everybody's heads are in the clouds when it comes to this thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, when it came out for E3, that was the darling of the show, and kind of a good reason why. I mean, you know, the PS3 didn't really have anything to show for it in any games, and Xbox 360 was already out, so, you know, all they really had to show was more games, so it's a new Nintendo system, and, it's Nintendo. Everybody loves Nintendo, so naturally had good press, and I don't know, I think that started to peter out, you know, last month or so for some reason. What do you think about that?
Well, my opinion is I'm still really excited about the Wii, but if they pull the same N64 and GameCube stuff that they've been pulling, where there's like six games throughout the whole fucking life of the system that's worthwhile, then no, it's not going to be very good. And it's starting to look like that may happen. I am a little worried about that.
My feelings are, well, hold on now. I think you managed to avoid the whole controller issue there, Ribo, and I obviously it was the hit from E3. I mean, everybody just jaws dropped when they dropped this thing on us and told us exactly what was going on. I can't find a pile of games out for this thing that I want. The virtual console sounds like a fantastic idea if I didn't already have all these fucking games. You know, a lot of people still have these games or have discovered, you know, that whole emulation thing or what have you, and there's packs now like Capcom Collection. You can get a bunch of old school great games already on other consoles that you have and don't have to pay extra for. You know, another $5 for Contra or $5 for Bionic Commando. You pay $20 and you can get, you know, a disc with 20, 30 games on it or whatever. You can get all the Sonic games, and they have all this stuff already, so I don't care about that a whole lot. These games I already have. It's, you know, and my concern, my worry for the thing is Nintendo's gimmicks. The Power Glove, the Power Pad, the Super Scope. This kind of stuff didn't stick around for a good reason, and now, you know, what they're saying they're going to do is completely going to revolutionize the way that we're playing some of these games. I'm all for that if it happens, but I'm terrified that it's not going to, and Nintendo's just going to, like, abandon it. You know, Virtual Boy?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Wii is going to be another Virtual Boy. That's a big stretch. I mean, Virtual Boy was a side project. They still had the Super Nintendo at the time. This is actually their, you know, this is a console. They're into making consoles. I mean, not so much handhelds or anything, but, I mean, they're into making consoles.
Yeah, they're into making handhelds, and they have been for a lot of years now.
I know,
but
the thing is that, you know, the Virtual Boy was a side project. That wasn't, they didn't put all their eggs into the Virtual Boy. They still had Super Nintendo, they had the N64, it was called the Dolphin on the way. I mean, this is a big thing for them, so I don't think they're just going to drop it and abandon it if it doesn't take off.
And I don't think they're going to abandon it either, but I think what C4 was trying to say is, like, the peripherals, like the steering wheel and the gun.
Right.
And that is concerned, but it's okay if all they use is the Wiimote. There's a lot of really cool stuff that thing could be used for.
It could be, but will they do it, though? Like, that's what it's not that I'm afraid they're just going to, like, stop supporting the Wii. It's that we're going to stop seeing games that use the Wiimote. That we're going to have, you know, 30 games that use the Wii remote, and we're going to have, you know, the rest of the library is going to use a standard controller.
Well, why can't they make games where it uses both? I mean, I thought that was the point. They're going to have games where you can either use the Wiimote, or you can use the little controller they're going to include with it.
Well, let's hope so.
And that's fine, Dan.
Yeah, that'd be great.
The only thing is, if it does come to it that it's just using the controller more and more and more, then you have some not very strong console having ports from games that are much better looking, running better on the burlier hardware. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm excited about the Wii.
Of course you are. You get all over excited over this stuff all the time. Wait till it comes out, you'll get one, and then you'll play, like, your two games. What about Zelda?
What about it?
You're going to play the Wii version of Zelda or the GameCube version of Zelda?
He's going to have to play the Wii version of Zelda because there's not going to be a GameCube version of Zelda.
You have like 10 more days, Ribo. You realize that, don't you?
We'll see.
There's going to be a GameCube version of Zelda, I'm telling you. They're not going to change, I swear to God.
Okay, maybe it's looking more like that now, but come on, you could see where it was coming from 5 months ago. When all you heard about was the Wii version, and they pushed back the release date for the GameCube version again.
I can see where you're coming from, but guess who is right?
Oh. Well, you're not right yet, okay? We'll see what happens.
We're keeping track. There's a post on the forum over this little dispute between you two.
This is Nintendo we're talking about here. They have no problem screwing you over.
Sadly, that's a good point. But I really hope they don't screw us over on the Wii, because I really do want to go run right out and go pick up one of these goddamn things. If not for the games, it's for the controller. I want to see how well this works. I really do. Like, I'm sure I'll pick up a game or two, you know, if I get the thing. I would have to. And, well, I guess not. I'll have Wii Sports. And I'd probably pick up Zelda if I could get my hands on it. Not that it's going to be available. There's no way I'll make it, you know, on launch. Their pre-orders are sucked dry already, you know, and chances of me finding one just sitting on a shelf somewhere are slim to none. So I'm sure we're all going to have to wait unless you guys got pre-orders in that I didn't know about.
Nope, I don't pre-order shit.
Yeah, so we're just going to have to deal with that. But what about the PlayStation 3, though? I know you guys are saving your ducats to pre-order one of those.
Right.
Isn't that already over, too?
No, no.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They sold out pre-orders in, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
But that's because there was only, like, 400,000 units.
Yeah, right. Nintendo's saying there's going to be 2 or 3 million or something by the end of the year, 2 million?
Yeah, 2 million.
Yeah, that's still, that's a decent amount anyway. That should go over pretty well. I'm sure they're still going to all be gone and off the shelves immediately. But in all honesty, okay, well, unfortunately, we don't have a game list out here for the PS3, do we?
No, but...
shit, because I had one. I had one. Go to, it's Game Reports or Gamers Reports or something. They have a list that's supposedly from EB or GameStop or some shit like that. With release dates for a lot of PS3 games, and I wanted to take a look at them. And of course, I forgot all about it once we got ready here because I've already got too many pages of notes here.
Well, I have a list of the launch titles right here if you're interested.
Oh, okay. Let us have it.
Yeah. Okay, we're looking at Blazing Angel, Squadron World War II, Call of Duty 3, a game called Fatal Inertia, Fear, Fight Night Round 3, Full Auto 2, Genji, Madden, of course. Marvel Ultimate Alliance, NBA Live 07, Need for Speed Carbon, Resistance Fall of Man, Ridge Racer 7, Sonic the Hedgehog, Oblivion, Tiger Woods 07, Tom Clancy, Splinter Cell, not Splinter Cell, Rainbow Six Vegas, Tony Hawk 8, and Untold Legends.
And how many of those can you play on the $200 less system?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, a lot of those are on there. Holy crap, I didn't realize that. The only game on there, okay, well, I guess I stand corrected. I had this whole argument in support of the PS3 today lined up, but I guess that just got blown out the window, because all I really want to play on that list, and I fear it's going to suck ass, is Untold Legends. I'm jonesing for one of those kind of games. And that Marvel game, same idea, you know, action RPG type, hack and slash, whatever the hell you want to call it, is actually coming out for the 360 also.
All three of them, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the Wii, too.
Oh.
And that one at least has a different control scheme. You know, you actually have to, like, use the Wiimote for certain things.
Yeah, fuck that. No way. In a game like that, you'd be so tired? No way, not going to happen. Okay, well, and... yeah, all right, well, so much for that idea. Another thing I wanted to know, do we know what this thing comes with? Like, when you buy the $600 PS3, what all do you get in that box?
A controller.
Cables.
And a PlayStation 3 with a 60-gig hard drive and a fucking... it's got built-in wireless, am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now...
because it interfaces with your PSP.
Oh, right, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think both of them have wireless.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the cheaper one now has HDMI connections.
Okay, so...
one doesn't have a built-in Wi-Fi connection. That's kind of odd.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. That sounds familiar for some reason that it doesn't have it. But in any case, take a look at this for just a minute here. The Xbox 360 Premium Edition, right? Doesn't come with built-in wireless. The add-on wireless to the 360 is another $100. It only has a little tiny-ass 20-gig hard drive that every single person I know that has one is complaining about because it's too small. And, it doesn't have a card reader, but I guess it's got USB ports for all that crap. My point is, it's very similar in cost to the PlayStation 3. If you added the things that the PlayStation 3 has, we can't get an HDMI connector on this thing, and it doesn't have an HD DVD drive. The HD DVD add-on for this thing is like $200, okay? You throw in that and the wireless, and you're looking at $100 more than the PlayStation 3 for the Blu-ray and the built-in wireless.
That's true, but I don't need my console to play DVDs.
Okay. Nevertheless, I'm not talking about DVDs. I'm talking about Blu-ray discs and HD DVDs, something that none of us here have.
I see what you're saying. You're saying that the specs-wise, in order to equal the PS3, is basically the same price.
Right, not so much the specs, but more the accessories and whatnot.
Right.
Like, so you can, you know, if you wanted to play these next generation of discs, you know, movies on disc, you would need either a Blu-ray or an HD DVD drive. The PlayStation 3 is going to have that built in. And if you wanted to use wireless, which, you know, I hate to admit it, my entire house is wired for a reason. I don't like wireless, but everybody else does. Everybody I know seems to have wireless in their damn house, you know. Every single neighbor of mine has wireless in their house, so that's something people use.
And especially if you're trying to get to the TV. Like, I mean, having to wire all the way over to a TV in a lot of houses is not necessarily a good thing. Like, C4's house.
Yeah, there's cables everywhere. You know, I got them stapled to the wall, and I have these little tacks, you know, they're all over the place. But I like it that way. I like it wired, if not wireless. So, I mean, for me, that wasn't an option. I mean, it didn't matter to me for the wireless deal, which is why I didn't buy it. So it would be more beneficial for me to pick up a PlayStation 3 Ghetto, you know, without the built-in wireless. And if it has HDMI, what else am I losing on it? The small hard drive? I'm sure I can buy an upgrade.
You can buy
an upgrade. Yeah, but how much is the upgrade going to be? You don't know yet.
But another big thing is now, if it doesn't have built-in wireless, how do you connect to your PSP to it?
With a USB cable.
Oh, yeah.
Which is hell of a fuck faster than wireless anyway.
But how are you going to use the PSP as a rear-view mirror if it's connected with a wire to the PS3?
You run it up the back of your TV, and you just sit it on the top. Of how the fuck you? I'm not using that. Oh my god. In any case, I want to stand up in defense of the damn thing a little bit, because I was thinking about it because of what you said, Ribo, last night on IRC.
What I said?
It had nothing to do with the PlayStation 3, but it made me think of it.
What you said
that you were in the mood for buying a game. Remember you said that you know, you've got some money to burn and you're in that buying a game mood, you know?
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that what kind of games that you, I think, would normally purchase would not be found on a 360, but they would be found on a Nintendo or Sony console, and that the release of the PlayStation 3 is awfully soon, and if you start saving now, you would be able to buy that thing. And granted, there's a few games out that aren't out for it right this very minute, but, I mean, there is a launch game or two that you would pick up, is there? I mean, Metal Gear Solid 4 is coming out soon, right?
Yeah, but that's not a launch game. And B, by the time Metal Gear Solid 4 comes out, I'm sure this thing's going to go down in price.
But you got the karaoke thing.
you see, here's the thing. Like, I always liked Sony better, the PS2, because it had a wider variety of games than the Xbox had. I mean,
that's exactly
Xbox
what
pretty
I'm
much,
saying.
Okay, but wait a second now. Wait a second. Xbox, you know, the original Xbox pretty much had sports games and a few action titles, and that was about it. However, the 360 is a little bit different than that. The 360 actually does have a wider variety of games right now. You have Dead Rising, you have Enchanted Arms. I mean, they're doing a pretty good job, and you have other games coming out that, you know, they don't fit the typical Xbox mold. So the Xbox 360 actually looks better to me right now.
They are working harder to make that variety even bigger.
Right.
Well, Enchanted Arms doesn't count anymore. That's a PlayStation 3 game now, too.
Yeah, but when is that coming out for the PlayStation 3? That's not going to be a launch title, is it?
I don't think it's going to be a launch title, but it's not going to be very far away. I mean, the game's done. It just needs a quick and dirty port, and Ubisoft didn't say anything about upgrades. Like, they were basically like, we're just going to put it on the PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
Not, we're going to overhaul it for the Uber-Sony console.
In this specific argument, though, the fact that it's cross-platform does still count, because it is on that system. You're buying the 360, you can still play those games.
Right, but, I mean, if it was a toss-up between the two, you would take that out of the equation. A lot of people are torn between, you know, it's like, oh, crap, I really want to play fucking Splinter Cell for whatever reason, you know. And, you know, before you had to buy an Xbox for that, and then all of a sudden it came out for the PS2, and people, I mean, I think it was shit, though, but that's not the point.
Right, the PS2 version was vastly inferior to the Xbox version.
Right, well, I mean, but that's not always the case, you know. That's not always the case. Hmm. Especially this time, it'll be, you know, maybe the other way around with Sony's superior hardware. Like, okay, maybe. A good example? Here's something. Okay, one of the major selling points for me, I'm basically trying to help Sony justify the price of this thing, because maybe they're not completely off base. Maybe they're really not completely off base, like everybody has kind of said they were this whole time. And one of the things to consider is Oblivion was in that launch list of games that you mentioned. Now, Oblivion has, it's on the PC and the Xbox 360, and I need to say something else first, though. One of the selling points of the PlayStation 3 for me would be is if it has, not I don't care about the HDMI, is VGA. I don't know. Has anybody seen anything about a VGA cable for this thing?
No.
No, I haven't.
See, that's going to be a major, major selling point for me, is if it has, and I'm going to say a selling point for me, and I'm sure people are going, face it, we're all going to wind up with one at some point, whether it's $600 or $400 on sale in a year or two, we're all going to wind up with one, so you may as well fucking, you know, get off of it and just buy one whenever you can afford one and play the fucking games that are fun. Granted, there's not any now, I understand that. It's the same reason that I did not buy an Xbox 360 when it first came out. There's no games I wanted to play except for, like, Tony Hawk. You know, and Cameo. That was it for a year. And then all of a sudden, well, maybe not quite a year, 8 months. And then all of a sudden, there was a hell of a lot of games, you know, that I wanted to play. But, okay, now on to Oblivion. The reason I mentioned the VGA cable is because I run the Xbox 360 Oblivion here at 1360 by 768. And this game, I wouldn't dream of doing that to my poor computer. It would burst into flames. You know, I do that on the Xbox 360, and it's not the smooth gaming experience that it should be. You know what I mean? Like, it stutters from time to time. Not a lot by any means. But every now and again, you're walking through the forest, and you're just like, God damn it. You know, I feel like I'm playing a computer game. It's choppy, you know? You shouldn't have these problems on a console, really. You know?
Yeah, you see, I take issue to that, actually, especially on a console. I mean, if they're going to design a game to run at that resolution for a console, they need to make sure it's going to run at that resolution at, you know, a full 60 frames per second. I mean, you can't upgrade a console. Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. So, and that
it is.
I don't like the sound of that. But go on.
Yeah, it's complete crap. It's like, you know, when you would play those old Nintendo games, they ran perfectly fine until you get 30, 40 sprites on the screen, and all of a sudden shit would slow down, and it bothered the piss out of you, but at the same time, you kind of realized, oh, I'm doing something a little out of the ordinary here, you know, I shouldn't have let that many creatures live on the screen, or I'm not supposed to train one room into another or whatever, and this was my own fault, but here, I'm not doing anything. There's nobody on the screen but me walking through the goddamn forest.
Right.
You know, and one of the things I wanted to mention about the PS3 was that probably won't happen. It's maybe double the power or less, depending on what Sony will have you believe, you know, of the 360.
Well, that wouldn't happen with Oblivion because, I mean, Oblivion's an older game, but you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Let's say they come out with Oblivion 2 or whatever the next
Killzone.
One is. How do you know? Killzone. or whatever game they come out in the future. I mean, you don't know if it's going to do that. I mean, I wouldn't say that that's a selling point of the PS3 because future games may have that problem.
Well, right, absolutely. But it is if you're an Oblivion player.
There's a big difference here between a older console dropping an FPS with a game that was designed for that on a TV. You're playing a game that has multiple choices of resolution, and you're choosing to play a higher one. Would it be better if they just didn't allow that resolution?
Yeah.
So
if it can't run smoothly at that resolution on a console, now I'm talking about PC, I'm talking about a console. If it can't run smoothly at that resolution, don't put it in. It's simple as that.
There's no reason to put it in.
Yeah.
So don't play it at that resolution.
It looks like ass, though.
but if they cut it out, then you wouldn't even be able to play the better.
No, I would play it. If they cut it out, I'd be forced to play it, kind of looking like, it's not so much that it looks like ass, is that a lot of games have trouble on an LCD. It's my fault for having this monitor. If I put it on this one, my CRT, I would still be able to read it at a lower resolution, but I wouldn't be able to read the text on this monitor, the one I play games on, because it's not the native resolution. It would be really bad. But I don't think it should suffer, a console should suffer from those slowdown issues. And if I heard, I can't remember who told us, they were in IRC, it was probably Six Layer, told us that they were on one of the updates here pretty soon, you know, the fall update for the dashboard, they're going to up the supported resolutions, which will be great for me because I need one more bump to get to my native resolution for the monitor, right? 1360 by 768 is the highest the Xbox 360 supports. I need 1440 by 900, and if they're going to bump that up to it, how much more is Oblivion going to suffer?
But again, you don't have to play it at that higher resolution.
No, well, I do because of the monitor. If I had a TV, I don't have to play it at that resolution.
That's not the console's fault.
The console should have enough juice to run this game at that. If Microsoft can't make games that are going to work at fucking, you know, 1360 by 768, don't put games out that support that.
Exactly. I mean, if Microsoft wants to pretend that this thing is No. If Microsoft wants to pretend that this thing is a mini computer, which we all know that's what they're trying to pretend,
right,
it looks like a mini tower, then it should be able to run games at a high resolution, at the highest resolution, without any type of problems.
But
that's a retarded statement. My computer can't run games at the highest resolution without problems.
Your computer's a piece of shit. What are you talking about?
It is, but I mean, he can change the hardware. He can fix that. You can't fix
exactly.
The Xbox. Therefore, they need to limit it so that, okay, this game runs great at this resolution. You're done. You know, whatever the case. Maybe they need to recode some of these games to use, you know, the other cores, because doesn't it stand that, like, all the launch games, and still, I think a lot of the games don't even use the multiple cores on this thing yet?
I can't understand why you would want to remove choice from yourself. Because right now you could say, all right, I can put it at this resolution, and it's going to run great. It might not look good. Or I can choose to suffer playability and up the graphics. That is a choice you are allowed to make now. You are saying, I don't want that choice. Take it away from me.
It's not a game setting. It's not a game setting.
Well,
it's an Xbox setting. You tell
Xbox
all games at this resolution. So while Tony Hawk might look exactly like it's supposed to and run perfectly fine at the highest of high resolutions, Oblivion runs like dick at the same resolution? I mean, that's going to be a problem. It's not a fucking computer, no matter what Microsoft wants to believe.
But you can change it.
Every time I want to play a game, I have to go into the Xbox settings. Not the game setting. This is the Xbox setting. Change the resolution. Oh, I need to go play Oblivion now. Microsoft says I can't play this game at that resolution because it runs like dick, so I got to go ahead and change it for this game now? That's bullshit, because in 20 minutes I'm going to want to go play something else, and it runs just fine at the highest one, 13, whatever.
How long does it take you to change this resolution?
Quite some time. You have to get out of the game, go all the way to the last tab, go into the video settings for it, pick widescreen monitor, pick the resolution, let it reload the dashboard. Fuck that. It should just work. And turn off your cell phone. Yeah, he's got to answer that, though. It's an emergency. So anyway, that leaves us, though, so he can't defend himself. He's wrong anyway.
He is wrong.
In any case, we can go ahead on to the next email then. This is from Air. He actually sent us two this week, but I broke them up for the idea that we had things to talk about. This one here was Square and the PSP and Homebrew. Air here, and before anyone asks, do you play games? Yes, I do. I was just wondering if there's ever been a word of Square working on a Final Fantasy game for the PlayStation Portable, or hell, any game for the PSP. Maybe I'm pulling stuff out of the air, but it seems to me that since firmware 1.0 or 1.5 were cracked rather quickly, that it kept some of the more skeptical companies from even bothering. Where Square, just staying on topic, not trying to beat it to the sound of a new Final Fantasy, said they would wait a year to see how it plays out. PSP is now full of exploits, and Homebrew, where the most damage is done with UMD loaders. So now they just lost all interest. Where I'm going with this is it that Sony's oversight on security is leading to poor game sales? You might say no, because the DS is suffering from most of the same problems. As with all other Nintendo products, they are turning a profit from day one. I don't know how much Sony has been losing per PSP from launch, but I bet it's enough. Sony is stuck with a problem. Either crack down on Homebrew in some way to get word out they want licensed games to not suck. They could also just give up. We have a good run, guys. Sorry you bought an SDK. Better luck next time. Just come out and say that we all want Homebrew on the PSP. Give the community a firmware version that is wide open. Sitting in the middle where the real games suck and the Homebrew is difficult to get working, the PSP isn't nearly much fun. And he has got a very valid point there, because I can't find 5 games on the PSP that I would play. I can't. I've looked and looked and looked, and I found like 3 that are passable.
Well, now, wait a second. What's his premise? His premise is that people don't want to develop for the PSP because of Homebrew, or because it can be hacked?
Not because of Homebrew. It's because of all the hacks, right? And it's so easy to get this thing to play, you know, copies, downloaded copies of your games, that it's scaring away, you know, the bigger developers, particularly in this case, Square, because he's jerking off to the idea of a Final Fantasy.
Well, first of all, Square did make a game. They made Valkyrie Profile ported Valkyrie Profile for the PSP in March or April, whatever.
Fantasy fanboys don't want that. You want Final Fantasy 12 PSP.
Well, this is true. This is true, but I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily see that deterring companies away from developing for the PSP. I mean, the Xbox is, that can be hacked, and so can the PS2, right?
Yeah, but not nearly as easily.
That's true.
This doesn't need, like, soldering and stuff.
I don't know. I just think that the The reason why they don't have good games on PSP is because they still don't know what their audience is for it. You know, they want to make on-the-go games, and yet they want to make it PS2 quality. Like, they want to put a 40-hour RPG on it.
Yeah, they've been trying to make portable console games, and that just doesn't
work. Right, it's a PS2 light, is what it is.
Right,
what they think it is. It's just not working out.
Yeah, it doesn't quite translate well to the whole handheld market.
Yeah, it could, though. I mean, the thing could be fantastic. In fact, there is one game coming out for it that very well might be my very first PSP game purchase. That depends, of course, on if they jack my firmware or not when they do it, is Killzone.
Oh, yeah, I showed you that one.
Yeah, that game looks friggin' incredible.
Yeah, it does.
So, I mean, it's possible there's a game or two out there for me, but okay, of all the people that I've seen that have owned PSPs, all of them don't have, it seems like, more than, like, a game or two. And they're usually Grand Theft Auto.
You know, right now, I don't have any games on my PSP, I'll tell you the truth.
I've never had one.
No, I had one. I had Metal Gear Acid, and it was okay, and I sold it. But the thing is with Sony, see, Sony's weird. Like, with the PS2, the PS1, anything, all their PlayStation, it takes them a while to get started. Like, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, I mean, they can go through the first 2 years of that system's life and have nothing but crappy games, and, you know, towards the third, fourth, fifth year, you get good stuff. So, I mean, I still think the PSP is still in its infancy as far as Sony's concerned. But we'll see what happens in the future.
I'm siding with Air. I don't think it's that they don't know what to do or what to put on it. These companies are the same companies that are making games for the Nintendo DS just fine. The problem is they're not putting them on the PSP, and I don't doubt it for one minute that it's because it's so easy to hack. I mean, think about what you have to do to mod your Xbox. Okay, first of all, you better either know somebody that knows how to solder, or you better be able to do it yourself. Then you've got to go out and spend $50 or so on a mod chip for the thing, and then cross your fingers and hope it works. On the PlayStation 2, it's even worse to try to solder the chip in there. Of course, there's an HD loader, but not every game works on that, and it's kind of a hassle. Plus, you have to invest in the HD loader itself and a hard drive for it. Okay, that's money. On top of that, you've got the Nintendo DS. Again, that costs a lot of money to buy a flash cart. I mean, you're probably looking at $100 or so for the software, the flash cart, and the cable. And the 360, well, I haven't looked into that myself at all, but as far as I know, there's only, I guess, the Hitachi LG drive. There's firmware hacks for it, I guess, to play some pirated Xbox 360 games, but that doesn't really hold a lot of interest, so I haven't looked too much into it yet, but I don't know what you have to do to mod that yet. I'm not so sure. I don't think you have to buy anything, but you can. There's, like, little chips that you can solder onto it to let you switch between firmwares, I believe, but I haven't played with it too much, but it is a lot of work, and it's scary. You know, on the PSP, you copy some files to the memory card and you're off and running. You know, that's it. You copy the game over there and you copy the loader game over there, the loader software on there, and you click fucking load pirated game and poof, you know.
That's true and all, but see, here's the thing. I mean, okay, we know about how to hack a PSP, but I don't think Johnny Gamer out there, you know, the people that they're selling this thing to, the 13-year-olds, the 14-year-olds, you know, the really not the computer savvy ones, but the stupider kind, which, you know, let's
right.
face it, that's most of them. I don't think they know shit about this. They're gonna go out there and they're gonna buy Grand Theft Auto, they're gonna buy a 50-cent bulletproof, whatever the fuck, for their PSP.
You're right,
and,
because those are the games that I see everybody own, and they've never heard of pirating a game on this thing before.
Exactly. They don't know what this stuff is, so I don't think that's scaring the developers off. I think that even though we know about it, it's still a fairly small community that does this particular thing.
Ribo's right, man. I work with some people, and, like, I can't even get them to understand how you watch an X-Men video. Like, they don't understand the codec. They cannot understand how to use BitTorrent or any of this stuff, and these people are not going to be hacking even the PSP.
Well, right. I mean, we know that there's people out there that don't even know how to fuck, that have never installed Windows and couldn't do it. They can't even open their fucking email. There's people, I swear to God, I run into them every day, that think that the internet and email are two completely different things. You know? I mean, I'm like, can you get online? Yeah, but I don't think I can check my email, you know? And I'm like, holy fucking shit, you know, I gotta make sure I can log on to the email, as if it's a whole other thing, and whatever. Okay, my point is, though, the developers know about this kind of thing, because they're like us, you know, except for, you know, more so. And so they know how easy it is to do. I would be scared of it, too.
Well,
right, what I'm saying is that the people, I mean, you know, I still think sales are down, because the game's so shitty. I don't think it has anything to do with with them being scared about the homebrew. I don't think they can give a fuck about it, to tell you the truth. I mean, they're still going to sell this thing whether or not people hack it or not. I mean, I used to work in, you know where I used to work. But you should see the dumbasses that come. I'm not saying that all PSP owners are dumb. But you should see the dumbasses that come in here and buy the typical PSP owner. And, you know, they're not the kind of kids that can even spell their own name, much less go on the computer and figure out how to hack it.
See, and that's another thing. Although PC sales are down, like the number of games is rather small, but there's still a lot of high-profile titles, and that's just not happening on the PC, on the PSP. So I don't think it's about hacking.
Do both of you remember when Halo came out for the PC?
Yes.
Vaguely.
Do both of you remember when Half-Life 2 came out for the PC?
Yes.
Go on.
Do both of you ever happen to stumble across, I know you wouldn't engage in this sort of thing, and neither would I, of course, but maybe you happened across any popular torrent websites at the time of the release of either of those two games?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you guys remember the astronomical figures that were on those two particular titles? Like there was other games. There was other games, and there's always been other games that are pirated, and there's always, you know, X amount of 100 people downloading them. Tens of hundreds of thousands of people on these other torrents, though, you know?
Doom was really bad.
Doom, that was the one I was forgetting. Doom, Half-Life 2, and fucking Halo were and Quake 4 were fucking disgusting. It was sad. It was upsetting. It really was. I mean, I was pretty upset about that. That was bad.
Even though those games were widely pirated, I still think Half-Life 2 was considered a success as far as sales are concerned.
And they still did it, and they're still making more of them because
it didn't hurt anything.
And so it's not the PSP is not having these games because of pirating, because the PC is an obvious example. Lots of people pirate PC games, and yet they still make high profile titles for them.
Not for long. We got our PS3 and our Xbox 360s dominating the games. I don't care. I don't know. I think we're having a hard time for gaming on the PC. I mean, I see, what, two or three games coming out? Dark Messiah Might and Magic, maybe a complete flop. And what the hell else is coming out? Fucking Portal.
Yeah, Half-Life Episode 2.
Well, I think that's mainly due because the consoles are so close to PC gaming now. You know,
this
kind of closes
the gap. Generation.
I know. Yeah. I'm not arguing that point. I mean, I get tired of hearing the argument myself. Oh, my God, PC gaming is dead. I'm not trying to go around and say that. I'm just saying it is, you know, I mean, it's the time now where the new consoles are out, so obviously the PC looks so much lower and everything. It's just, fuck, man, they're getting the same games. Before, it was different games. Now it's the same games, you know? That's a little hard to swallow.
It also seems that every generation, the PC loses a little slight, like they don't get quite as much of the pie back.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is.
All right, well, we can move along to the next email then here, now that we've beaten that one into the ground. This is from Istoff, you bastard. Oh, this was the other email I was afraid to read. Okay, check that out. All right, howdy, guys. It's sad that I have to greet you guys in this way. Making contact with someone using the word bastard as your opening doesn't bode well for the relationship. However, I have finally reached the point where I was motivated enough to get off my rapidly expanding fat ass to write you this email. Couple of things off the bat to get started. Number one, my shift key is broken, so no caps. You are, however, entitled to some punctuation, which will be provided for clarity. Number two, thanks for a great show. Enjoy the banter, and most of all, the honesty. You guys freely admit when you're fucking up or have fucked up and don't make excuses. I respect that. Now, I have very little in common with your taste in gaming, but I do enjoy the show nonetheless. Where you guys aren't into racing games, that's pretty much my main thing. When I say racing games, I don't mean Need for Speed and Burnout. That's like calling Westlife a rock band or saying that Windows is a decent operating system. Okay, let's see. By racing games, I refer to things like R-Factor, which I've actually seen, by the way. That does look pretty nice. I'd never heard of it until the other day. I stumbled across on accident. GTR 1 and 2 on PC, and even extending down to GT4 and the good old PS2. Now, since listening to your show, I've enjoyed the various rants and raves, but kind of like an observer. I didn't get involved. I didn't go out and play the same games. That was until New Super Mario Brothers. Damn you, C4. My wrists are numb and my eyes are strained. I should slap a fucking carpal tunnel lawsuit on your ass. I can forgive this, but for the life of me, you won't get away with your next sin. stop fucking talking about Geometry Wars, okay? I bought an Xbox 360 last Saturday just to play it. My wrists are numb, etc., etc. I'm living in a rented place for now, so I've had to go and order some broadband just to get some Xbox Live loving going. I can't wait to get in there and actually save my high scores and play multiplayer. I just can't wait. Anyway, I'm a hardcore Linux user and have been slowly weaning myself off the Windows gaming, but now I have to get XP Media Center Edition just to stream video to the Xbox. You're sending me straight back to Microsoft hell. I've used my credit card once this week, and it's for stupid live points. I see the end is in sight. Oh, wait, I need to get the big screen high-def TV and the... Oh, to hell with that. Gotta get the VGA cable and plug into my Samsung 1440 by 900 widescreen monitor. Great minds do think alike. Thanks for the tip, and if I hate my Xbox in 3 months, it'll be your fault. Last thing, listening to your review of Kingdom Hearts 2 was probably one of the funniest bits of internet radio ever. Cheers, Istaf. Let's see, P.S. Get Dan Washko on your show ASAP. Dan absolutely rules, and yes, he does. Coming to you from Cape Town, South Africa. That's a new one for us. In fact, I think I've only ever met one dude from there before. That is awesome. Hope the English was okay and that the mail was readable. Stop talking about the Wii. I'm broke. Now, that's friggin' awesome. That's a pretty cool thing. In fact, I think I've got him on my thing now. I know I do. On my gamer list thing on Xbox Live. Your English was absolutely fantastic. It's better than most of these douchebags. I'm looking at you, Kobar.
That seems to happen a lot, too. You get these foreign people sending emails, and their English is better than a lot of Americans.
It is. It's terrible. And I'll let that's amazing to me. That's fantastic. But that is such a good email. That is so funny. I was terrified when I started reading it. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's so pissed at us for something. And then it's, like, the funniest thing I've ever read. That was sweet. So... And then I had another one to go along with that from Lee. This is 360 Heaven. Hey, C4, we'll start off by saying, God damn you. You and your review of the Xbox 360 made me go out a week later and buy one. I got a 360 Dead Rising, Prey, Saints Row, and Perfect Dark, and a few Xbox Live arcade games. And I have to say, out of all the consoles I have had, this must be the best. I think it comes down to the always connected to live, and man, those achievements are like human crack. Only had it 2 weeks, and I have 1,515 points. Go me. The graphics on my 26-inch high-definition TV look incredible. You must invest in one. You see, I was going to wait for the PS3, but as soon as Sony announced that it was getting delayed in Europe, that was the last straw. Thanks to your review, I now have saved a shitload of money, and I have gaming bliss. Keep up the good work with the show, and here's my gamer tag. I actually removed it on the notes. I didn't want to read it on accident. Regards, Lee from Scotland. That is another new one to us. That is friggin' awesome. P.S. Your show is the only thing that keeps me from dying of boredom at work. Say hi to Kobar. Hi, Kobar. He's back this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know that
I
you get
that guy
emails
like
from... You get emails from anybody but people in America.
I know, and it's very bizarre, but it's pretty cool because, you know what, as far as the Americans I've met, you know, Kobar, you, we're a bunch of douchebags.
Oh, that is true.
I mean, let's be honest here. Come on.
Yeah. This is very true.
Now, let's see. He mentioned the Xbox Live achievements. That's awesome because they are like cracked. That is one of the things, and he said this is the best console he's ever had, probably due to some of the always connected thing. Like I was saying before, I'm fairly certain I remember saying this the day that we kind of talked about it when I first got it, was one of the things I liked about it so much was it wasn't just like I was turning on a console and playing some video games. It was like I was switching on to some like online gamer's world where every single person there was also enjoying some kind of games, and they were people that I could interact with and socialize with, you know, be it voice or just mailing each other back and forth or just kicking their ass online. You were, and even if I was playing, and this is a big thing, a single-player game, even when I'm sitting there, you know, getting my Oblivion on, I can talk to my buddy who's out playing Perfect Dark Zero. You know, and while he's avoiding talking to the guys that are playing that game, there's 31 other of those guys talking to, you know, other friends and themselves. I mean, it's really neat. It really is something that's just like, ah, this is what console gaming needed right here. This was a real shot in the arm for console games, you know, because your computer games have that. You know, you're always online, you're dicking around, you know, there's other people there usually. You guys can't chat unless you have some kind of special thing, you know, but at least you're always online. You guys can type back and forth and call each other noobs and say that you were owned or whatever. But the console didn't have something this good, and it's just phenomenal. I mean, being able to sit down and pick up, you know, like Street Fighter at any hour of the day and get my ass handed to me by a 12-year-old is such a great feeling. I mean, it really is nice. You know, and the perpetual scores, you know, like I said before, an arcade that never closes. They never turn the power off, so you never lose your high score. Dude, it's addicting. I'm hooked on it. It's like I can sit there and play Geometry Wars for hours just trying to better my score. There is no other goal in this game other than to be at the top of the list of my friends on the scores. It's a hell of a lot of fun to compete with your friends. That competition makes you game more, and that's what we're all here for, isn't it? Playing video games, you know? And I think a lot of people, not just the three of us, I know, don't play, you know, I know it. We haven't played as many games as we used to. And there's work and real life and all that bullshit. But you know what? Notice that when you find a game that you really enjoy, you make time. You find time. You know? Like, imagine when you were first hooked on Final Fantasy. I mean, it was a different world. You just, you know, you went to work less. You left work as soon as possible. You were late once in a while. You didn't sleep as much. You ate at the computer chair. Not that most of us don't all the time anyway. I mean, you found a way. Right, exactly. You find a way to make time for these fantastic games, and that's what it's really all about. And for the longest time, I've been feeling like we just haven't had that much time to play games, or I haven't been spending that much time to play games, rather. You know, and I haven't been until this. This came along, and it wasn't one ho-hum PC game after another. This was different. It was back to the console games that I haven't enjoyed super thoroughly, at least, in a number of years. There's been a gem here and there, but nothing like this. Where it's all day, all the time.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, I like the Xbox Live setup and the 360. But do you remember? Did anyone use the Xbox Live for the original Xbox? Was it similar to this one?
I had a year of it, and it was nothing like this at all.
Okay.
It was basically just playing games together, right? I mean, there was no like community to it.
Yeah, it was very primitive, but, you know, I mean, it was a step. It was the first step. I mean, sorry, Sega. Your Dreamcast Online didn't cut it. You didn't do shit with it, hardly, you know? I tried the hell to get some games online with that. I could never get it to work, you know? Never, ever was able to ever... would they have Street Fighter Alpha 3? And I tried like hell to get that to match me up with people, and it just wouldn't do it, you know? I mean, it was just a joke.
There might not have been anybody there.
Yeah, there's that whole thing, too. But now Microsoft has gone ahead and they have videos you can watch. You can download videos. Demos of games is the greatest thing ever. You can talk to people while you're just dicking around. And if you're playing a game, you can still talk to your friends that are playing something else. You've got the whole global scoring thing, too, which is nice. You know, in the individual games, I don't care so much about the gamer score. You know, that tally of the total of your achievements. That my dick is bigger than yours.
I almost feel sorry for people who have the extra large number.
You know, yeah, seriously, the tens of thousands of points, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't really care for the gamer score itself, but I love the achievements. I just see the gamer score as a byproduct of that. You know, I mean, fuck it, what the score is. Do you have you been able to pull off the million point achievement in fucking, you know, Geometry Wars or whatever? That to me is cool. That to me is really a lot of fun because it also keeps me playing. I mean, there's a game now, and I don't know why it seems like nobody has ever heard of this but me, and I don't know fucking why. Mutant Storm. Mutant Storm Reloaded or whatever it's called on the 360 on the arcade. It's
pretty cool.
It's freaking awesome. I mean, I've had it for a while, and I play it every now and again, and I'm actually starting to think I enjoy it more than Geometry Wars, if that's possible.
Really?
Geometry Wars doesn't have anything beyond attempt to get a high score and to get the achievements. This at least has levels and different weapons you can get, you know, and yet it still maintains that same basic gameplay. Plus, it has a different game mode, and it's got like 8 different or so difficulty levels. I mean, there's a lot more to it for what it is, you know, and it's a blast. And I mean, I've spent days, whole days, playing that also on top of Geometry Wars, and I'm starting to think I actually like it better. But anyway, I was kind of burned out on it for a while. And if it was an ordinary game, that is, not on the 360, I probably wouldn't have come back to it. Yet, I'm sitting there and I see these grayed out achievements that I know with just a few hours of practice, I can get those. And it's like I did it yesterday. I sat down and I knocked out the last 3 achievements I needed. I'm down to one more. You know, and it's great because it's like I actually enjoy the game. But I would have little motivation to play it if it wasn't for that thing hanging over my head that like, man, you're a loser. You haven't beat the game on Black Belt. You know, that's the highest difficulty, right? That's the last thing you can get. And it's like, I have fun playing it just for fun, obviously. But it's nice to have a goal, too. You know, I don't know. I mean, these achievements are like crack, like you said.
And even with games that have goals in them, like, say, Oblivion, they're just extra goals. They're more things you can try to do.
Right. It's a lot of fun. I like that. I really like that idea. Does anybody know if Sony's going to jack that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
I don't know.
I asked if anybody knew.
No, I don't know.
Right.
But no, yeah,
I imagine they will.
But everyone's everyone's talking about how that's one of the best things about Live, and so I can't imagine they won't.
Right. In fact, I'm such a jackass. I have, during the week, I keep a list of, you know, URLs to look at before the show, but since we didn't do the notes like we usually do, because thanks, Ribo, that's all right. You're all the content we need, brother. I usually go through these, and one of them I had was the PS3's online thing, like all kinds of shit about it. So I didn't get a chance to read it. I just bookmarked it like I always do in my little section for stuff for the notes and didn't get around to reading it. Alas. All right. We got another email from UT Soul Reaver. This is Terrorist Jackie Thompson. I know you've got a lot to say about this, Ribo. Back in the news again.
Here's the thing. I hate giving this guy publicity. Stop talking about this guy. He'll go away if you don't talk about him. I don't know why people don't understand this. Just ignore him and he goes away.
This isn't CNN, okay?
No,
we're not giving anybody any publicity here, I assure you.
I'm talking in general of the media, of the internet media side, well, the internet gaming media sites, and it's just, they keep giving this guy a voice, and if they just ignore him and just ignore the barbs that he throws out there, he will go away. I was reading his whole bio on Wikipedia or whatnot. This guy's been, I mean, he's a showhound. He's been a showhound since the 80s. He's always, I mean, he doesn't give a shit about any of his crusade. He just wants his name to
fame. No, I know that. But we're not the ones, you, me, listeners of this show, and the fact that we're talking about it are not the ones that are giving him his power. It's not us. We can talk about it until we're blue in the face, and it won't change anything. Or we can not talk about it, and it won't change anything. It's not us. It's our parents. It's your mom. Watching fucking CNN going, oh my god, this is what my son does all day? That fucking, he's insane.
You know what? I can't, I don't know, because it's the internet press that gives him his power. Because I was actually doing a search in his name on CNN, and I can't find shit on him. CNN has real news to cover. They can't be bothered with this guy.
He was on there one day, at least once.
Yeah, once, a long time ago, but I mean, come on, the grand scheme of things,
on
CNN.
On the television.
Same thing. What's the difference?
I don't know if they have all the same exact stories, but your mom's not going to read the thing on the website. Your mom is watching it on the TV. And because it's on the TV, it's true.
Right, right.
You don't see you and me on CNN telling everybody how it really is. Your mom, my mom, sees, you know, terrorist Jackie Thompson on CNN telling them how it really is.
That's true. That's the problem. I understand.
All I can hope for is that, you know, some of the listeners play the show loud enough in their homes that their parents get to overhear the truth about terrorist Jackie Thompson. So, on with the email from UT Soul Reaver. Jack Thompson 0, Intelligent People 1. Basically, if you don't know already, Jack Thompson is a lawyer from Florida who thinks violent video games are the cause of children killing their parents, etc. Just recently, he stated that he thought the reason a kid killed his parents was because he played Grand Theft Auto 3, not because his stepfather physically abused him. I mean, that's logical, right? And he's got a link in here, which I didn't shorten, so whatever, it's all over the news, I've seen it everywhere. Looks like censorship has been defeated once again. Thanks, Soul.
I actually know about this. What happened was, a new game, Bully, that's coming out. He wanted to get it blocked in Florida from being sold. So
he was trying
to
get it declared a public nuisance.
Right. So he took it to a judge. The judge said, okay, hey, I'll look at the game. If it's a problem, well, then we'll talk about it. The judge looked at the game. He had a game tester from Take-Two, who publishes the game, play it for him in front of him. He found nothing wrong with the game, and then Jack Thompson just blew up. He actually attacked the judge verbally by called the judge a list of names and whatnot. It was pretty.
He told him to shut up at some point.
No, not just that, but then he sent an email to him that he sent to the media, and he sent to the judge, he sent to a bunch of people, just basically just lambasting the judge. It's pretty amusing because it's just obviously a guy who can't take the fact that he lost.
Exactly.
Now he's gonna cry about like a little kid. So, you know, it's long story short, nothing really matters. None of this matters in the grand scheme of things, but you know, Bully will come out.
Yeah, it will. On schedule. Yeah. Tuesday, right, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was just something we had to mention because, you know, I like saying terrorist Jackie Thompson. It really is. We can blow over this. I didn't really have a whole lot to say other than, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows because I saw this every single website I go to, you know, had news about this on it. So it was just, you know, something I had to mention. And we happened to get an email about it, so it was like the kicker, you know, one extra thing. We do have another. Okay, this is a really good one. This is from Air, and this is why I put this. In fact, his other one was really good, too, and all the email today has been great, I think. But this one is going to spur some conversation, I think. But then I discovered that Gobar is, I think we have the same opinion on this, and I think. I don't know. There was something about this that I wasn't too happy. I was hoping to argue with you guys, but that might not happen. Okay, this email, this is the other email from Air here, and this is how the fuck, that was the subject, so I knew this was going to be great. Okay, and it's a link to a Slashdot article that doesn't matter. I don't even know where to start a rant. So basically, I clipped out part of the article here. Let's see. Okay, Gran Turismo. I'm sure you've heard about this. If not, look at the notes. Gran Turismo HD will have two SKUs on the PS3. That's two different versions. One of these games will ship with no cars. A racing game shipping with no cars. All of them will be purchased via microtransactions. The other, Gran Turismo HD Premium, will ship with two courses and 30 cars, with an additional 30 cars and an additional two courses online at a later date. The premium game is being considered a prologue to the eventual Gran Turismo 5. The pricing reported in the Famitsu piece indicated that cars would cost between 50 and 100 yen, that's like 43 cents to 85 cents US, and courses between 200 and 500 yen, $1.71 to $4.26. There are approximately, now get this, 750 cars and 50 tracks available for purchase in the Gran Turismo HD Classic. So let's do the math here. 750 cars for 50 cents to a dollar a piece, and 50 tracks for $1.50 to $4.50 a piece. That's a lot of money. $750 worth of cars.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, just like that.
I mean, what else are you going to say about this? It's ridiculous.
Like $800 for tracks.
I'm going to say it's bullshit. That's what I'm going to say.
If you really want to play Gran Turismo that badly, then I guess you have to wait for Gran Turismo 5.
Wait, what if all the Gran Turismo fucktards out there get all crazy about it and they start spending hella money? All the games will start doing this.
That's $1,000 for the game.
Most expensive game ever?
I guess so. I mean, for real. I mean, are we going to have... Okay, what about the next Madden? Are you going to be able to buy teams for $20? You know, you could buy a roster update every 6 months for $10?
Actually, you know what? The roster update idea is actually pretty good. Don't mess with that one. That's a cool idea. You have one game. No, you have one game, you buy a roster update every 6 months.
It's a cool idea if it's free.
Oh, look. You have one game, right? One game.
No, no, no. That's
the
problem.
One game.
There's 14 Maddens. If there was Madden Football and it went for 2 or 3 years with roster updates you could buy for $5, that would be okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're not going to do that. They're going to put out quarterly updates for the roster for $5 or $10, and then they're going to release a new game every year anyway.
Well, there you go.
Right, okay. Now, I understand all that, but the point of this whole thing was okay. The point of the email was Gran Turismo. That's a little out of line, I think. I think that's a little too far. Well, okay,
of
more
course.
Than a little. Okay, as long as we're all in agreement here.
Yes,
but we haven't had a discussion about micropayments ever on the show yet, and I do believe it is a topic worthy of talking about because I think we have some very differing opinions on this, and I'm going to use Xbox Live as the main example here because that's what's real so far. You know, PS3 Online doesn't exist yet. Xbox Live, now I know, neither of you douchebags have had the luxury of sitting here going, oh my god, should I really get that? And agonizing over $2. I do it all the time, though. I find myself sitting here, and I wanted to point out, maybe we'll start with Xbox Live Arcade. I am of the opinion that every game on there is double what we should pay for it, except for Geometry Wars. Because it's only $5, it should be 10.
Well, how much? What does the average game run on Xbox Live Arcade?
Between 400 and 800 points, which is $5 to $10.
And what games are we talking about? We're talking about old stuff like Pac-Man, Dig Dug.
Pac-Man, Dig Dug, Frogger. They're $5, and then something like Pom Pom. What am I thinking of? PopCap games are $10, and it's like maybe Astro Pop and Zuma. And that fucking fish game, Uno, fucking Uno.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe not every game is double price. A lot of those do seem to be about right, though. But it does seem like some of them are way out of whack, though.
I don't see a problem with paying $5 for let's say, a game like Smash TV. You have Smash TV on there, which is a very fun multiplayer game. I mean, you pay $5 for that, that's no problem with it.
I don't see any problem with spending money on a game. When you're talking about the live arcade, what I have a problem with is, oh, they want a couple bucks for a pack of four fucking pictures. That should come free with Xbox Live, the premium.
Yeah, okay, the themes suck. Don't you have to pay a dollar or two to get a theme?
You both can go to hell. All right, fuck talking about the arcade then. All right, fine. Let's talk. Okay, then we'll talk about the Xbox Live Marketplace stuff then. Okay, the pictures and the themes for the fucking Xbox, all right?
Yeah, that should be free.
At the very least, there should be a premium version that gets that stuff for free. You spend like an extra $10 a year, and boom, you have access to all that crap.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's not a bad idea. I'm of the opinion they should be unlockables, though. Like, if I want the Oblivion theme, I better have beaten that fucking game. If I want the Dead Rising theme, I better have fucking beaten that game.
See, and that's a great idea because it's throwing over on top of the achievements. That's making one more goal for the game.
Or make those gamer points mean something. Like, have a certain amount of gamer points, you can actually spend the points on buying theme packages or pictures or whatnot, instead of just having a big dick contest.
That would be a cool idea, too. That would be a cool idea, except for, I would like to see, let's say you're playing Street Fighter and you want, an icon of fucking, Bison or whatever as your gamer picture, right? Rather than say, I just bought Street Fighter and I have no points, but I played Chrome Hounds earlier today and I got some, I did some achievements and I have 50 points, I can spend 20 of those points on some Street Fighter pictures. You know what I mean? That doesn't say to me that person is any good at Street Fighter. It says to me that person used points from some other game on that game's things. I think that you should be able to use maybe just the points. That's a good idea. What about just the points you get from said game can be applied to purchasing themes and pictures of said game?
Or maybe to enable to maybe increase game sales as a whole for Microsoft, you could spend any of the points, but you had to unlock something in that game in order to be able to spend
points. You could do that, too.
Right.
Because now, Microsoft is going to want to be able to sell more games, and if someone gets way into this and go, oh, my God, I need to have all these themes and all these things, but I ran out of points, let me go buy this game and start winning points here so that I can buy more shit.
Well, you wouldn't have more than 1,000 points if we're talking about a retail game worth of content, themes and pictures and whatnot for said game. You know what I mean? Like, there wouldn't be 1,500 points worth of shit in Oblivion because you'd only earn 1,000 points. You should be able to, have this many things, 1,000 points worth of shit in Oblivion that you can get. And then how you get and earn your points, you get to pick from like a shopping list almost. I think that would be just absolutely fantastically cool. Because then the people that are way into whatever game would really have to work hard to get, a special picture or something, rather than just say, well, let me throw another $2 at Microsoft and I can have all the Street Fighter pictures.
Plus, it's a specific trophy as opposed to just 1,000 generic points.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good idea.
Can't
you put your own stuff on it from your computer? You can transfer wallpaper and whatnot.
No, only.
I'm pretty sure you can.
You can do wallpaper, but you can't do your pictures. The only way that you can get yourself a gamer picture of what you want is if you buy the camera, the Xbox Live Vision camera, which just came out like in the last 2 weeks here. I think is $39.99.
So you could take a picture of yourself.
Yeah, a buddy of mine already has that. Well, this guy at work already has that.
That's going to get so abused.
The kid, you can watch black guys playing Uno with their shirts off, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Eventually you're going to be rocking around, you're going to be going around the live arcade or whatever, playing a game with some guy, and then all of a sudden there's a fruit basket.
No shit. Yeah, no, Oberon. I was talking to Oberon on live the other day, and he said that he was playing Uno with some douchebag wearing nothing but a bag on his head and a sock on his dick. Isn't that great? Oh, my God. I mean, it's terrible. Now, I suppose it'd be all right if we had some hot chicks that were playing these games, but we don't. It's all black guys with their shirts off playing Uno all day long. I swear to God.
I don't get the shirts off thing. What's that about? And why Uno?
I think it comes with a camera. I'm not sure, but I heard it was going to come with it. I don't know if it actually does or not. I heard it was going to come with the camera, but I really don't know if it does or not. But, I mean, for God's sakes, this was going to be so abused. You know what I mean? How could they have not known? Yeah, I have zero interest in this thing. I mean, I cannot see. And the worst part is, there's a game on the arcade that you can download for free, you know, with or without the camera, but it requires the camera to play. You know, so that's kind of stupid.
I guarantee you're going to see this thing used on To Catch a Predator. There's going to be some pedophile shit going on with this camera.
Oh, my God. No shit,
you're going to have Chris Hansen coming out there with blown-up pictures from Xbox Live saying, hey, is this your copy?
Yeah. All pixelated and fucking ridiculous. Yeah, that's going to be some bad news. But, like, okay, so let's talk about, the micropayments. Let's go back to the actual money here, okay? Forget the points for a minute. Let's focus on the actual hard play money that you buy on Xbox Live, the Microsoft points. Now, a lot of people are very upset with, let's say, Oblivion, okay, because you can buy, you know, a little module of, remember when this came out, the horse armor pack?
Yeah, people they were charging for it and people upset.
Yes.
How much did they charge for
it? It's written down, I think. Oh, wait, hold on. I put this in the bottom of the notes, remember? Okay. The Spell Tomes is 80 Microsoft points. The Vial Lair... Now, the Spell Tomes, just so we know what we're talking about here, adds loot to the dungeon drop list.
As well as new spells.
Oh, it was whole new spells? I didn't think it was new spell. I didn't know that.
Well, define the points. What's 80 points? Is that like a dollar?
400 points is $5. It's $1.25 for 100 points. So that's like a dollar for Spell Tomes.
Okay.
So 150 points, what are we looking at here? Like $2.25 for the Vial Lair, which is like some place you get to go if you're a bad guy or whatever, I guess. The Thieves' Den is another 150 points. Wait, hang on a second. Let me get through all like five of them. Okay, Thieves' Den is 150 points. That one gives you like a pirate ship that you can use as like your base of operations, which is way fucking cool. You have people there that will buy stolen loot from you because, you know, shopkeepers won't. They go out and pillage and plunder and shit. You know, they're pirates. And they bring you money every 2 weeks in-game, 200 gold or whatever. There's something called the Wizard's Tower. That's 150 points. Another, whatever I said, 225, I think. A place to go and make spells if you're a wizard and have like your own little home. There's a quest line called the Ori, O-R-R-E-Y. It's the whole thing about ancient spells and spellcasters or whatever. And horse armor somehow is 200 points, just to throw some armor on your horse, which has like nothing to do with anything just other than the way it looks, I guess, and ups its armor class on your goddamn horse. And Maroon's Razor, 250 points. So that one's a little bit more expensive than the rest of them. That's a grand total, though. If you were to buy all those seven little things, or however many there are, it's 115 points. That's about $14 total. Now,
well,
I'm like
thing,
way
I mean,
all for them.
Here's the thing. I mean, is this officially made product, or is this fan-made?
This is actually from Bethesda.
Yeah, from the developers.
Right. Bethesda, okay. Put this out. Oh, I mean Bethesda. I'm sorry.
Well, you have to look at it this way. I mean, is the content that they add, let's say the extra layers and whatnot, is that worth the $250? Like, what I'm saying is that would you see this in an expansion pack or
Right. This is exactly where this is going because Kobar and I have completely differing opinions on this, and I am of the belief that this is the fattest thing since sliced bread available right here.
See, and I think that this is barely acceptable as far as micro downloads go, the micro payments.
Well,
it's
depends.
Better than
if
Gran Turismo, but I would much rather get a fat heaping of content for $30 than this $1.50 thing where I'm getting a single dungeon or a house or this, that, or the other thing. I'd rather just get a fat lump.
Well, it depends, though. I mean, these layers and whatnot, are they big enough to be considered, like, I mean, are they actual... Are they bigger places than normal? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Some of these Some of these have absolutely nothing to do with gameplay. They're just a house and where you can put your shit, you can go to. It's like a base of operations. There's like one actual dungeon, and apparently that one's pretty cool. It's nice and long. There's a weapon at the end of it that you wouldn't get otherwise. The spell tomes thing seems pretty cool because it's adding extra loot and actual new spells and whatnot. But some of them seem like pretty useless.
Well, the Ori is another big, long quest line, too. The Vile Lair has a whole lot to do. Evil characters can hang out there. It's all probably, it's vampires and stuff. You know, if you want to play through the vampire, it gives you a place that you can reside without getting, you know, fucked in the ass by trying to go into town. The Thieves Den, here's the thing. I'm dying to pick this up for some reason, but I'm agonizing over the 225 for some reason because I'm just sitting there going, well, okay, if I wasn't running across problems with Oblivion itself, it would be no question. I would probably download most of this stuff. Now, a buddy of mine does have all this and swears that it's worth every penny. Some of it's really cool. You need to go make some spells. You have your own little place that you go and you can stash all kinds of shit there. Now, there is homes in the game. There is other places you can buy. Every town has a house that you can go buy, but there's nothing special about it. The Thieves' Den in this, you know, there's a little, like, a little quest for it, a little place to go. You get a pirate ship and you can hire on people to help you. They go out and they bring you money. You can sell shit to a guy. You normally couldn't do that in the game, you know? Well, not easily. So it does add quite a bit to it, and it's $2.25. The spell tomes are $1, and it adds, I guess, new spells and loot drops of spells in the dungeon, so it's like $1. Now, if you were to buy an expansion pack for $30 and get, let's say, twice as much as what we're looking at here, because that's what they would give you an expansion, I don't want some of it. I do not need or want a Wizard's Tower, so why should I be expected to pay for it in an expansion pack?
Well, it'd be a lot more than twice as much, though. Because you'd be getting a whole fucking new quest.
Bullshit. Have you seen the fucking expansion packs for games lately? It's bullshit. You're getting nothing out of them for $40. It's bullshit. Look at the Burning Crusade. That's $40. You're gonna get what? A dungeon or two, I'm sure? And people are gonna play it for 6 years.
No, I agree with C4 in this. This is actually a pretty cool thing. You can pick what you want. You don't have to have content you don't really need. They're never going to play. The only thing is that's going to suck is if they take this content that you're buying now and they do put in an expansion pack, you're going to have the same content. You have to rebuy it over again.
Right.
That would suck ass. And you know, I wouldn't put it past them to do something like that either.
You know what I see happening here is that people are going to go all ape shit for this. And then all of a sudden, next time around, they're $5 a pop, and there's fucking 100 different things. And suddenly you're spending, just like Gran Turismo HD, you're spending all kinds of money on all this crap you don't really need, but goddamn it, you want it because you love this game.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
But that's okay, because you like the game.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. Yeah, if you get enough to justify the cost, I don't have a problem with that. Like, the Gran Turismo thing's stupid because you're paying $1 for one car.
Yeah, to play the game.
Exactly. Now, if you're getting extra crap, like you're getting a whole new quest line or whole new dungeons, a whole new area, and you have to pay $5 for it, I don't have a problem with that. You're getting extra stuff that's going to be worth
exactly.
your $5 to play. Yeah.
That you want. You get to pick what you want, too.
Exactly. And it's all optional. You don't have to get any of this stuff. No one's holding a gun to you to get
exactly.
this stuff. It's optional. It's not like Gran Turismo where you need the car to freaking play the game.
And the fucking tracks.
Wait, exactly. No one's holding a gun to my head except for my addiction.
What's your problem?
Exactly. That's your own fucking problem, you know?
Now, okay, I will say, like I said, as far as micropayments go, this is probably the best way to go about it, and Oblivion is actually halfway decent. I still see this as being way easy to abuse by developers and getting way out of hand.
But I still have no problem with it, because if they put out a game that is entirely playable in and of itself and has all kinds of cool stuff, like Oblivion, I mean, there's more shit than you could possibly reasonably do there in months of playing this game, and then say, well, shit, some people would like to have their own pirate ship. Let's add that. Oh, fuck, what if we gave them a Wizard's Tower? That's extra to the game. You have a complete... It's not like they don't have homes that you can buy in this game. They do. Every town has a house that you can buy if you wanted to. But I don't have a pirate ship. How much cooler would it be to have that as your home?
Here's the thing. If it makes you feel any better, Kobar, the only problem I see with this is if they preview a game and they're promising all this cool stuff in it and then they only put in half the stuff and then they pull it and they make you buy the rest, then, okay, you have a point. If it's all extra optional,
that kind of shit.
If it's all extra optional content, no.
But it hasn't.
Yeah, not yet, anyway, but yeah, it could
happen. You guys can't prove it's going to happen, though.
Well, I'm cynical. You know, I mean...
You know, I understand where we're going with it. I understand where we're going,
yeah.
But, like, But it hasn't happened, so we can't sit there and say that it's going to happen yet. You know what I mean?
Let's,
the end of the world is coming. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here all day and fucking just think about it, you know? Oh, my God, you know, but someday I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm. No, right now it's a cool thing.
I think it's absolutely beautiful. And, in fact, it's so nice that I wish they would do other things for us. I mean, this list of seven things, I want more. Like, sure, I don't have any, but I mean, like, give us more and give us, and how come every game I have doesn't have something else that I can buy? Extra cool shit if I'm that into it, you know? Like, I would not, like, if they added, you know, another level that was really fun and rather large, like, at least the size of the other levels to, say, Tomb Raider, and had it up there for, like, you know, $2 or $3 or $5, and if it took, it'd have to be a lot for $5 worth of content. It'd have to be, like, two levels in size with really cool puzzles. I mean, just like an expansion pack, but not. I'd be all over it. That was a great game, and I loved, you know, running around in that game. It would be worth it to me for another couple bucks to play through a whole new other level, you know?
The other problem here is that if every game starts doing this, your hard drive is going to fill up fast.
Well, it already has filled up pretty quickly, but I have a lot of videos and demos and whatnot on there, and this is, that's a whole other concern with the 360, is how long till Microsoft, you know, fucks us all in the ass and puts out a 60-gig hard drive for $8 million, you know? Because the thing's way overpriced, the hard drive, way overpriced. I mean, it's like a $30 part they sell for $100. That's bullshit. Malarkey, as my grandma would say. Now, as a lot of you figured out already, I've actually been playing Oblivion for the 360, one of the things that I kind of let slip and haven't mentioned on the show. I mean, I've been gone. It was something I picked up because it sounded a lot better than it does on the PC. And I'll tell you what, it really is. Like, I am absolutely freaking hooked on it. I've probably put almost 40 hours into it in the last week just trying to play this game because it actually really impressed me. The controls are that much better. The game feels like how it's supposed to be played on the 360. It's really bizarre. Like, I thought that was insane. It looks amazing. It's a 1360 by 768 resolution. I can't do that on my PC because I don't have, you know, some super high-end video card. But it still looked okay, but it still kind of ran like ass on a 6800. On the Xbox 360, I got the collector's edition. You know, it was like $50. It was just, it's been beautiful. A hell of a lot of fun. I guess the problems with it, would be that it really thrashes the swap partition on your drive. That's something to consider, too. A lot of people don't know. Your 20-gigabyte hard drive, okay, you have to take 2 gigs, 10% right off the top because it's formatted NTFS. So you get an 18-gig drive. Notice that on a clean drive, you only get to see 14 gigs of it, though. 4 gigs of that drive are for patches, because there is a patch for Oblivion that you get, you know, when you fire it up and if you're connected to Xbox Live, and for partially downloaded content, like if you download a demo or a movie and stop halfway before it gets moved over to, like, your user partition, it gets stored in there, and game swap. You know, so like the game uses like a swap file, copies it to the hard drive for faster access. Oblivion absolutely destroys that. I mean, fucks it up so bad that Oblivion starts having problems, because now it can't read from the disc fast, because it's jumping all over. It causes the game to lock up, really slow loading times, and I've already noticed the slow-ass loading times, you know, and I'm...
So it actually becomes worse than if you didn't have the hard drive at all?
I don't know about worse. It's pretty bad.
I've seen this thing run without a hard drive, and that's pain. You're talking about, like, 30-second load time, 25-second load times, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, see, I'm seeing that already on this, though, but I've been playing it an awful lot, and I've been in and out of a million places, but I do have a trick for all of you out there. There is a solution to this. Check this out. It's a Microsoft, like, there's like a secret fucking code to go ahead and wipe out that partition and reform, like, it basically wipes it out so you can start clean and fresh. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to do. They put in, like, a code for it. A lot of people know about this, but a lot of people haven't, and we didn't mention on the show yet. Go over to your, on the dashboard of the system menu on the end over there. Click on memory, and then it shows your hard drive. Press Y when you're highlighting the hard drive. And then on your controller, press XX, left bumper, right bumper, XX, and it asks you if you would like to perform maintenance on that. It ends up wiping it out, and if Microsoft Tech Support will have you do that, I guess, from time to time.
No, it's only the swap that it doesn't actually format your hard drive, right?
That partition goes away. It's still there, but it gets wiped, because you lose patches, too. you lose everything that was in that 4 gigabyte partition. Game patches, the swap file gets wiped out. So you can start over again. The only real downside of doing this is that if you play, you know, Oblivion, next time you turn it on, you have to download the patch again. But I haven't ever sat through anything that took more than a minute to download for any game, so it's not really a big deal. Everything else gets stored on the user partition, so it's not that bad. But keep that in mind that if Oblivion, you know, has been going slow, and it affects other games, Oblivion thrashes that file, that whole partition, other games will suffer. So you can actually wipe that out when you're done playing Oblivion or whatever, and then just log on, grab the patch real quick, and log off, and you have the patch and don't got to worry about it. Now, my concern with Oblivion, we were talking about these little micropayments of crap that you can buy here. You have to be online, I guess, to be able to use this stuff, though. So you buy the content, and now you have to log on to Xbox Live to play Oblivion's extra content. You can still play the game, but if you get disconnected, you're not going to your thieves' den, you know? I guess. My buddy Bobcat has all of everything for this game downloaded, and he really likes it. And it was having connection problems the other day and was trying like hell to play Oblivion, but couldn't because he kept getting disconnected.
And, you know, that makes sense because it's like making sure that you're the one that bought that. So you can't buy Spell Tomes and then go, hey, buddy, go download my Spell Tomes thing, and now we can both just have it for the price of one.
But I didn't even realize you got cut off.
Not even the first time?
No, I didn't notice.
Yeah, I'm having problems here.
Well, it's not that bad. I mean, in an hour and a half, you've been disconnected twice. That's not too bad. I mean, it lets you come right back, it looks like.
Yes, fine.
Oh, really? Recently? Oh, okay. Huh, I didn't notice. Well, we'll just keep going here and see what happens. So anyway,
right.
I don't like the idea that if I pay for those micropayments for Oblivion, that I have to be online. Because what if I move into the sticks one day? I mean, it's not going to happen, but you never know. You know, and I won't be able to play the content I downloaded. All right, this is the only argument you have for an expansion pack CD, at least in my book.
Well, and they could have done what they do with, like, Geometry Wars, because you don't have to be online to play Geometry Wars, right? You just have to be connected to you.
Right, I have to be logged into my gamer profile thing that's on the Xbox, and I can still play. I don't have to be online, but this you have to be online for. It's a single-player game that doesn't use anything on the Internet, and yet if you buy the downloaded content, I guess you've got to stay connected, which is retarded, I think.
Wait a second. So you mean if you, even after you download all the new content, you have to be online to use it?
This is what I'm told. I have not verified it because I do not have any of the content, but my buddy Bobcat has every single piece of all this. And he was having some major connection problems, like I said, and could not play his content. He was bitching about it to me just the other night, which sucks ass, because what if you want to go play Oblivion, a game that you paid for, and extra shit that you paid for, in 5 years, and Xbox Live is telling you to go fuck yourself?
All right, that doesn't make any sense. That can't be right.
That was the real big problem I had with, like, Steam and stuff, with Half-Life 2.
Right. So, I mean, I would imagine that we could, you know, gamers could beg and complain and whatnot to Bethesda at some point, you know, I mean, in a couple of years, if Microsoft is saying, look, you know, Xbox Live for the 360 is getting old, we're moving on to the 720, you know, and go fuck yourself, I could see, you know, them maybe putting out a patch that removes that. I mean, it's happened before, you know, maybe not on a console game that I've seen yet, but it has happened in the PC world where the company either removes copy protection or takes off the online requirement or whatever. So, I mean, I think if the demand for that kind of thing was big enough that we don't have to worry about it, and I still say that $2 is $2. I'm not going to miss that $2 in 5 years. You know, I'm going to be like, look, I paid for it. I had fun with it. And, you know, that's too bad, so sad. You know, I mean, it was $2. I'm kind of pissed I'm missing it, but it was $2. You know, I could find Oblivion for the PC now, you know, in 5 years for $15 and get all the mods and shit for free, you know, so big deal.
Yeah, but that's not really the point. Actually, I mean, you did pay for it, and it is your content, and it should be.
No,
should be
it's software. You did not pay for it.
What are you talking
Welcome
about?
To the new world. This is the fucking United States of corporate America. You did not pay for and own software. You have a license to use it.
That's ridiculous.
That's just a fact of life.
The those things are available for the PC for the same price. You actually
buy
those.
Jesus.
You see, they're sticking it in you at every hole.
Welcome back.
Ah.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Stop leeching Wi-Fi off your neighbor. Your connection sucks.
As usual.
It's probably your neighbor leeching off you, finally.
What a dick. Who would do something like
back.
That?
What an asshole.
Yeah, what asshole would do that?
I remember a couple weeks ago we mentioned Oh, wait, there was one last thing I wanted to say about these Xbox Live things. Okay, the micropayments, Chrome Hounds for Xbox. I looked through the list of things that you can download for this fucking game, and you can buy, like, guns and shit, it looks like. Like, for 100 points, you can get a rocket launcher on your mech. I really don't know about that. This game is almost entirely played online against other people. This is Magic the Gathering again, where it's, you know, he who has the most money wins.
Right, that's kind of gay.
Yeah, I am. A buddy of mine's playing this game. I don't think he's actually bought all the shit yet, or any of the shit yet. In fact, I haven't asked him, but I don't think he has, because he probably would have mentioned it. And I don't know if he even knows that you can buy all that shit yet. I'll have to talk to him later today. I'm sure I'll see him on Xbox Live, and I'll talk to him. But I think that's some ass right there. You know what I mean? If you're going up against other people, it'd be like playing Quake 4 and be like, all right, well, here, we'll give you a BFG for $5, but nobody else has one. You know, what the fuck? That's not okay. I don't think when you're up against people competing like that, like what about Gran Turismo? If you're competing with other people, you're going to have the best car. You know what I mean? And maybe that best car is going to be $2.50 or whatever, or a dollar or whatever. But what if they, you know, if it's a different track, you're going to want a different car because it handles different. Look, I got to get these other three cars. You know, that gives somebody the edge because they have more money? I'm not down with that. That's not cool. But if they add a level or a track or something, I think that's okay because that's, oh, hey, you can have your fun single player. If you happen to talk to other people and play games with other people that have the same thing, you can play games with them too. Fantastic. But if you don't have this track, well, you can't play the extended content. You know, that doesn't change the competition between the players. That doesn't give somebody an edge because they make more money or they have a spending problem like me.
Well, and that does happen in like, MMOs and stuff with PvP, because people buy the expansion, suddenly they get higher levels, they get access to more gear, and they spent money, but they have to take the time to unlock it, too, so.
Well, I don't give any, I'm not giving it to the MMO players, no way. I'm not giving, they pay $15 a month to play one game. They can kiss my ass. They can pay $30 once a year to keep that going. For their expanded content, they don't buy anything else. Console gamers spend a whole hell of a lot more money, you know, because they have to buy whole games at a time. So they get screwed, the console gamers, over the MMOs. So, or even the PC gamers, they have to buy a whole hell of a lot more games. So the MMO players, they can deal with their $30 expansion packs because they're all going to buy it. You know what I mean? They generally all do buy it. In any case, we'll have to talk about the Xbox Live Arcade games, you know, at some other point, because there is some things I wanted to talk about, because there's some awesome ones coming out, and there's some not-so-awesome ones that I'm not going to be pleased with, like Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Contra. You know, Contra was a good game for its time. I just don't see me buying that. I knew that was going to get something out of you. I just don't see it happening.
I hate Contra.
I don't hate Contra. I hate the idea of paying for it again.
But you can play online with your friends. It's fun.
I don't have any friends. Okay. No, my complaint with Xbox Live Arcade is, and did I mention this before? I don't remember if I did or not. Is that, okay, I feel these should go two ways. The way Nintendo's going, with the Virtual Console where it's all old games. I'm down with that. Or, like what Microsoft is half doing, all new games that would qualify and be considered arcade games. Like, Geometry Wars, Mutant Storm, fucking Cloning Clyde, Astro Pop, arcade games that are new, look great, and then they throw fucking Dig Dug in there this week on us, you know?
What?
I don't want to play Dig Dug.
I don't understand. Why either or? Why can't we have both? Why can't we have old games and new games?
Because it feels like they're half-assing both of them to me. It feels like they're not doing as good as they should. Because think about, if Microsoft put out, they're putting out a game every Wednesday in the arcade, right? And instead of getting a game I really want to play, something new and exciting, like there's a Mutant Storm Empire coming out, looks fabulous. Heavy Arms or something, I can't remember what it's called. There's a couple other ones on them that look fascinating to me. Then there's fucking Dig Dug and fucking like Sonic the Hedgehog or fucking Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 and Frogger, you know?
My guess is, I know what you're saying that we are getting fewer new games because of this, but my guess is probably they're throwing in these old ones as fillers while they're making the new ones.
They very well probably are, and I understand that, but fuck it. You know, put out three games a month that are new, or even two games a month that are new. I think people would eat it up. You know, I was not too happy to see even Street Fighter on there, because they gave us, you know, the janky one. They didn't give us, you know, a newer one because they're going to do it later. They gave us Pac-Man to begin, you know? They gave us Pac-Man to begin with for our $5, and they're going to give us Miss Pac-Man in 6 months. for $5 more. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's robbery.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're doing big games like Castlevania Symphony of the Night's coming out for it, and that's gonna be pretty cool actually.
Yeah, I don't know how much that's going to cost because that's not going to be. Well, you know what they'll probably do for that one? Because I was going to say that's a huge game. It's on a CD on the PlayStation. They'll probably MP3 the audio, though. Or no, I'm sorry. They'll probably Windows Media Audio the music for it, though. You know, so it'll probably be like a 100 meg download or something total. So it won't be that bad.
Yeah, but it doesn't take that long to download big stuff off Xbox Live. I mean, yeah,
no, it doesn't.
They
the
have a really fast connection.
Fucking ass.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter.
About the storage space, though.
Well,
exactly.
True.
I'm not going to be able to store all those games and save games and music. I cannot believe that people have music on their Xbox hard drive. That seems like such an asinine use for that space, you know? You have a computer with basically unlimited storage for dirt cheap, you know, probably sitting right next to you or wired up to your whole house and people...
Well, no, what people do with the music is they make their own soundtracks. Like, when you're playing a racing game, you put your own soundtrack in, that's pretty cool.
That's no, I turn the music off, and I turn music on my computer.
That's you, but other people who don't have their, like, 10 computers sitting right next to their Xbox 360s in the living room can frickin' play the music off their Xbox 360 and have their own soundtrack going.
I don't know how anybody deals without having the cockpit.
I don't either. I couldn't live like that. So you guys remember the Halo RTS, whatever it was called, fucking Halogen or whatever?
Halo Wars.
No. Halogen, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you mean the mod.
Yeah.
The mod. We know why now. Yeah. Halo Wars is coming out from Ensemble Studios, which is cool, because those are the guys that put together Age of Empires, you know?
Yeah.
The Microsoft Game Studios label. Making an RTS called Halo Wars. It looks like it's going to be exclusive on the Xbox 360. There's no plans for a PC version, so don't get all excited. I haven't seen anything but a trailer, no gameplay footage yet, so I don't know what to expect. But that trailer did look like to me that it took a lot of work, not something they threw together in like, you know, a week or a couple hours. It looked like they've been working on it because they already had ideas. You know, they already had a lot of stuff laid out. And so it tells me this is why that was shut down. This was in production before. You know, so I mean, just to kind of clear that up a little bit, there was a Halo RTS being made by Microsoft, who does own that property. And they do have the right to do whatever they want with it. That's why they own the trademark and all that, you know.
Knowing that this is coming out does give it a little more, like, it does make it okay a little more. Because we were thinking that all of a sudden Microsoft went, hey, don't use our shit.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to kind of mention this, at least, is it didn't seem like something that they came up with, you know. But, of course, how long has that mod been around? Like a year or so? It's been a long fucking time.
You know,
the mod probably gave them the idea.
I'm sure it did, and they'll never prove it.
I have a different view on this. I think it's always
you love
okay.
The cock?
Only yours, baby. No. No, but I think they always had the right to shut down this mod. I mean, it is their property.
Of course they did.
No, but I mean, it's always been right. There's no... I mean, why look bad upon Microsoft with this? They own the product.
Okay,
Okay, what's your idea?
My point is that if they're going to use the Halo product for an RTS, fine, dandy. Shut this down. You want to use your own damn IP for your own damn game. That's fine.
Right.
If you're not going to make an RTS, what the fuck does it matter? Let the modders
Because it's theirs. Okay, let me put it this way. Let's say you create something out of scratch, out of nothing, and you put it out there, and then let's say you make a first-person shooter. Now, you may or may not use that as an RTS. I don't know. It's still yours, and it's your option to make. You don't want something using your product that's going to be in competition with yourself should you decide to make an RTS in the future. Right? It's your product.
In the future, I would shut them down.
It's intellectual property. That's what this is.
It's using your name. They're not using... They got their own graphics. They did all the work themselves.
No, bullshit.
The only thing that they stole was the name.
It's intellectual property.
I would quite honestly be very happy that people were making other things with my ideas.
If I'm not going
to make money on it, if I'm not going to make an RTS, I would actually be glad to see my ideas being used in other unique and cool ways and people having fun with that. Now, that's just me. I'm not a heartless businessman.
You're not Microsoft.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you don't want to make any money, that's fine. But if I made something and I saw someone out there with my idea using it for something that I could potentially make in the future, I would be pissed off because I created it. I spent the time building whatever this idea was up and nurturing it, going through many rewrites, going through, many drafts and whatnot. This is mine, okay? I'm not going to give it to you so you can do whatever the fuck you want with it and be in competition with me down the line should I choose to do something else with it.
No. See, if I decided to make it RTS, you're damn right I'm shutting them down because, yes, that is mine. I own the rights to it. But in the meantime, more people are having fun with my ideas, and that's the whole point of being a game developer, is it not?
No. To make money.
It's money.
No. Being a publisher, it's all about money. Being a developer is about making money doing something you love.
Yeah, making money doing something you love, but you still want to make money. Money's the first part here.
But Microsoft, if they were not making an RTS, I don't see what the big deal is. We're going around in circles, and it's not going
to change. Let's move on to the next topic.
Speaking of making money, Microsoft, our favorite money-making company out there, they're hemorrhaging money still on the 360, seriously. Like, they're fucking dumping, okay? And for fiscal year 2005, Microsoft's game division posted a $485 million net loss. Now, fiscal 2006, okay, ended just back in June, right, June 30th, the division lost $1.26 billion fucking dollars.
Damn.
That's a lot of money.
Not to Microsoft, though.
What do they have in their reserves, like $40
billion? Yeah, I mean, Bill Gates spends that much going water skiing on the weekend, okay, so...
Dude, that's a solid chunk. If they've got, I swear, it's like $40 billion they have, like, cash on hand. That's a fucking lot of money. I mean, I'm sure they probably have... Well, they're going to get a little cash infusion here over the next 2 or 3 years from Vista and Office 2007 coming out, so they'll be fine. But that's amazing. That's a huge amount of money to piss away.
It's a lot of money, but their idea is that they're investing. They're going to get a lot of that money back when the system gets a little older. Plus, they're increasing their market share for future.
That's all they want. There was I can't remember who the hell they were talking to now. I was just reading an article, an interview with somebody from Microsoft that was basically, we don't care. I mean, he flat out was like, I don't care how much it costs. We're going to, like, take this over. End of story. And he said something too, remember here we were talking about how Microsoft, like, has finally become aware that they realize that they need to, like, latch on to gamers because they spend so much ridiculous money, whether it be consoles or PC. He said something along the lines of, like, we get it, that the gamers are, cash machines for us, like he said something, I can't remember what he said, but oh my god, it was hilarious because he was just like, this is where the future of our business needs to get their money, from gamers and businesses buying Office. It was ridiculous. I was like, oh, he's right, though.
Yeah, their point is that they'll be making oodles of money in the next few years and maybe even 10 years down the line. They want the Xbox to be Windows of the gaming market.
Right. And, I mean, if they keep pumping money into it, I don't see how that won't happen.
Well especially... It's all the games, whether or not they
especially
have the games.
If each generation continues to jump as much as Xbox to 360 did.
Yeah, that's true. That was fucking amazing.
No matter what you think, the 360 is a far cry better machine than the Xbox.
It may be a better machine, but I don't think it sold better. Come to think of it, I don't think it sold better than the Xbox. Now that I think about it, I really don't. Because I remember reading somewhere just last week that it's got a slower start than the Xbox, like as far as units sold in the first 8 months or whatever.
Really?
Isn't that due more to shortage than demand?
I imagine the first couple of months it was shortage, but I mean that's kind of a problem we don't have anymore.
Wow,
that's classy right there.
I'm going to have to look into this, because I thought 360 was kicking its ass in sales.
One of the RSS feeds that I spend all day looking at, scroll across my screen, is for the Xbox Scene website, where you got all the crazy hacking news and whatnot. They also cover all the stories about Microsoft, and I always see Xbox news in there. This is where I got the story about, even this was in there, where I get the money, and where they had the interview with the guy. They always post everything, so if you're looking for a good RSS feed for Microsoft Xbox information, it's Xbox-Scene is the website.com. And they have an RSS feed with all this crap. You can just, read all the stories. And I remember them saying something about it's gotten off to a slower start than the Xbox. That's fucking horrible.
It's still on lower numbers or just got to a slower start?
This is the part where my memory goes to shit because I don't know if it was a slower start because they'd sold less in the same amount of time from the launch to the launch of this. And theoretically, they should have sold more of the 360s for the same period of time from launch to X amount of months that they're counting here, but they didn't. So I don't know how much of that's attributed to Japan, you know, or if it was only a certain amount of time where there was a shortage going on either. I do not know. But anyway, I don't have that written down, so we'll move on here. I guess the last thing I really have to say about about Xbox somewhat related was Phantasy Star Universe comes out in a couple of days here, like 9 days. They posted they call it a beta, and I can't figure out why. It can't be a beta. The discs are done. They're pressing discs for fucking Phantasy Star Universe. This is a stress test.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is.
So they've got it up there on Xbox Live. You can download it now. It's like about a gig download. And I have, for 2 days it's been up. I think it ends on the 18th. Today's the 15th, and it came out on, I think, Friday. And I can't play it. I have tried about three times to connect now. The first time I got on, and I created my character, which was pretty customizable. It was a lot of fun, and I could do quite a bit of stuff. The graphics were pretty nice. And I was looking forward to getting into it. You could have full camera adjustments. So whatever you wanted to do, you could play it, you know. Like, you could make the camera work. It was cool. But I spent a good amount of time working on my dude, which was cool. Because there was a couple different outfits, you know, different pants, shoes, shirt, build. You could make a little tiny midget dude or a huge guy. You could pick your voice, and it was cool because not only was there was like 10 different voices to pick from, but you had a full range in pitch for each one, too. I mean, it was pretty neat. I mean, you had some good customization going on there. But when I actually tried to play the game, it starts out with, like, a tutorial that you can go through where they kind of show you how the town works and where to go for whatnot. And it locked up on me. Now, I talked to my buddy Bobcat over Xbox Live that same night, and he said it locked up on him, like, 7 times trying to do that. I actually don't think it's the game, though. I'm starting to think it's lag-related because I haven't been able to get on since then. The servers are packed, and there were 17 universes open last night. That's the servers.
Yeah, it's been going around that it's not the game. It's people trying to get on, and it's just locking up. But here's the thing. You're going to hate this. The 17th, they're going to have some kind of 24-hour maintenance going on, so you won't be able to play it then, too.
Oh, nice. So I basically have the rest of today and tomorrow to try to play this game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that happens, but I really do feel that they should give us, like, you know, maybe 24 hours. Okay, since I mean, it's hard to give a demo, I guess, of an online game like that. What if they had, like, an internal timer or whatever and just said, you get 10 hours of play once it goes live?
When it releases, you'll probably just be able to play the demo of the single-player.
A single-player demo? I hope so, because I'm going to check that out. Because I was sure I was going to love it and buy this game immediately, like on release, and I can't say that now because, you know, I can't quite play the game to check it out, and I'm really upset. I tried it a fourth time. I was able to get in, and I could log in. I skipped the tutorial just because it kept locking up on, I don't know why. It scans through town, and there's people there, I guess, and it just dies sometimes. Anyway. I couldn't zone. It was so fucking laggy. I would zone somewhere, and it would disconnect me. It would just sit there for 5 minutes and then say I'm disconnected. So, I mean, I was screwed. And you can hop servers whenever you want. There's a little cube you walk up to and pick your server, which is kind of a cool idea, you know, if you had buddies on different servers and whatnot. I like that. Except for I'm retarded and never used it, so I didn't know if I could server hop to somewhere with a lower population to try to, you know, keep the lag down. I haven't checked it out beyond that because I was way into Oblivion up until I discovered Oblivion hates me.
You would think that they would have a system where it would log you into the lowest populated server at the time. Especially since you can move around.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is why they're doing this, you know, to figure out some of their issues, and I hope they have them solved, because, although, honestly, I don't want to get into a fucking MMO. I don't feel it right now, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're in the mood for one, sometimes you're not. I really want to check out the single player on this, so this doesn't even matter to me all that much. I just wanted to get a good feel for how the game is going to kind of play.
This
looks more like a, it looks a lot like Phantasy Star Online to me. It doesn't look like an actual MMO.
Right.
It's more bite-sized. I consider Phantasy Star Online like a bite-sized MMO. It's not like a hardcore World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy XI.
Right. No, you still go on your little missions and whatnot.
Right. But I mean, it's more action-oriented than say
it's
World of Warcraft.
It's more like Guild Wars as an MMO than say...
Yeah, right.
EQ or something.
Yeah, so, but in any case, I haven't had a chance to play it yet, so hopefully I'll have a chance to check it out and actually get in and get some good time in for next week, because I'd like to talk about it and let everybody know. I mean, at this point, I really can't tell, other than I think the menu system needs a little bit of work. And it's not that it's, like, confusing, it's that it's ugly. It's really fucking ugly right now. I mean, it just looks like they stuck the menus on there and called it good, you know,
right
with plain text.
Right now, for stuff like that, is probably done. That's how it's going to be.
Probably.
The discs are already printed.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll do an update or so. I don't know. I wasn't too happy with the menus, but I mean, I'm sure I'd get over it if the game was good, you know. So we'll see. I still don't know yet. Like I said, I couldn't really play, unfortunately. But I'm getting awfully tired of talking here. I know, Ribo, you've got a mouthful of stuff that you want to drop on us.
Yeah,
so why don't you get started?
Okay, well, first of all,
I'm down to having two things to talk about. One of them is a game that sucks, and one of them... Oh, no. This will be you, man. Did you see that rumor about Final Fantasy XII in development for the Nintendo DS?
Yeah. It's more than a rumor. It's actually in development. It's called Reverent or Relevant Wings or something like that. And it's going to use two of the characters from Final Fantasy XII. I think it's Van, who's the thief, and some other character. And but I don't really know what type of game it is yet. So far, the only thing I've read about it is that it involves airships. So maybe it's like an airship fighting simulator.
Let me make another way off-base accusation here. You think it might have chocobos in it somewhere, too?
No. See, here's the thing. It's not like airships for transportation. It might be airships actually fighting each other. It might be like a spin-off. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Star Fox.
Yeah, like that. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know. There's literally nothing on this game yet. So, but I mean, big thing that everybody keeps mentioning is that there's something to do with airships. So, we'll see what happens when that comes out sometime next year in Japan or whenever it's supposed to come out. But right now, yeah, Final Fantasy XII is coming out on October 31st, and I'm very excited. I don't know about you guys. Any comments?
I've heard a lot of mixed things from people who have played it because the game kind of got leaked on the scene quite a while ago, and so a lot of people have been playing it already.
Yeah, actually, the first reviews came out about this game, and so far the only thing that people are complaining about is the combat. But here's the thing. They say the
combat... The only thing is the combat?
Let me finish. You're going to like this part. They say the combat is too much like Final Fantasy XI, which I don't have a problem with, so it's good for me. They're saying Yeah, but people who don't like it, they don't like that Final Fantasy... The reason why they didn't play Final Fantasy XI was because they didn't care for the combat.
Well, they clearly don't know what they're talking about.
Right, because the what I'm seeing is people are saying that the combat is very repetitive and very shallow and there's no strategy, which we all know is not true.
Exactly.
So I have no problem with that. That sounds very good. But the other thing was that the game is very beautiful. Apparently, they made... instead of having solid polygons or whatever, they kind of pared them down a little bit so the graphics look better, even though it uses less polygons or sprites, or I don't know all the technical aspects of it, but it looks very good.
That's the same line that Blizzard fed to us, wasn't it? Wasn't that them that said that we're putting less polygons in, but it looks better than everybody else?
Was that for World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I swear to God.
That's the line going around. Apparently it has a bunch of side quests. There's like a ton of optional, non-linear content in this game. There's tons of summons you have to actually find that you don't get automatically. The only other problem that I read about it was that the camera has some kind of problem. Now, they didn't elaborate on what the camera problem was, but they just said that the camera can be problematic at times. So we'll see what happens when that comes out on October 31st. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy the collector's edition. You know, the rest of you guys, you know, can kiss my ass. It's going to be the greatest game ever.
I can see that. It actually sounds like a very interesting Final Fantasy for me. I mean, for somebody who basically hates them beyond 11 and anything 6 and previous, I don't know. This one has actually got me at least looking at it going, wow, you know, I can see me playing it. My only problem is this. I don't have a VGA cable for my PS2, so it's not going to get played.
And
let's be honest here.
I sent you a bunch of information on this game months ago that you never read, so unfortunately the listeners are going to have to go find out for themselves, and C4 didn't want to give you the lowdown on this game.
We talked about it.
Huh? Yeah, but you didn't talk about it. You didn't do it in depth. You did parts of it.
That you wanted us to do a 3-hour special on Final Fantasy XII?
Yes, exactly. I wanted a 3-hour special on Final Fantasy. You did three freaking 8-hour shows on Final Fantasy XI. You can do a 3-hour special on Final Fantasy XII.
Okay? That was an MMO with like 4 million times the content.
That we were playing at the time.
I understand.
Not to mention.
I'm just busting balls.
You know what? There is a game that you could talk for fucking hours about that's not on your list here that I just noticed that you're probably dying to is Final Fantasy III.
Oh, yes. That's also coming out. That's coming out later in the month of November, though. They actually pushed that one back to the 15th, I think. And
yeah, this looks like something that I think I'm going to have to pick up immediately.
Yeah, this game is going to be awesome. I don't know if anybody played Final... Now, see, there's a big number problem with the Final Fantasies in America. Basically,
no, there's not. People are fucking stupid. Okay, Final Fantasy III and Super Nintendo was really Final Fantasy fucking VI. Deal with it. We never had Final Fantasy III. End of story.
Right. This is actually Final Fantasy III, the real Final Fantasy III.
The problem comes out is that in America, it was Final Fantasy III here, and now we're having a different Final Fantasy III. It confuses some people.
That's not a problem. Most of these kids aren't old enough to have ever even owned a Super Nintendo. Seriously.
This is true. But no, Final Fantasy III is going to be really great because instead of just doing a straight port like they did with the GBA games, they're actually rebuilding it from the ground up with the original director and the original team. So, and there's a lot more energy put into this game than the Final Fantasy IV or V Advance for Game Boy Advance. And they're actually adding some of the jobs. See, this was the first game that actually introduced the job system to the Final Fantasy universe. So... whereas in Final Fantasy 1 and 2, the original games, you pretty much had set classes like Warrior or Thief or Black Mage. This one, you can actually have your four characters switch jobs as the game goes along. Now, the system in Final Fantasy 3 is a little bit different than in 5 or Tactics, where you just switch jobs anytime you want. In Final Fantasy 3, you have a certain amount of points that you can allocate to switching jobs, and you can actually run out of points. So you have to make a strategic decision about what type of classes you want. And as the game goes along. Now, you do get more points as you go along if you want to change later on, but if you build up, let's say, a red mage, and you get extra points and you want to change them into a warrior, obviously your red mage will be more powerful. So, there's a lot to this game. There's also, they decided to go kind of a 3D route, which it's kind of a super deformed 3D type graphic, which I don't know. I don't like it too much, but... then again, it's not, I mean, it's, I'm kind of on the fence about this. It looks okay as far as the screenshots I've seen, and I've seen it in some videos where it looks a bit better, but...
I would have really preferred, like, really burly sprites and 2D graphics.
You know, yeah, I would have liked sprites or, like, cel-shaded or something where, like, kind of anime style.
Where they could take the power that the DS has and just really push it.
Right. They could have gone a different way with this, so I don't know. We'll see what happens when it comes out.
This is really pushing the DS.
I meant pushing the 2D graphics.
You mean making super 2D graphics instead of kind of plain 3D graphics, kind of N64 first generation 3D graphics.
Yeah, but a little bit worse than that.
You don't think so? I think it's a little bit better than N64.
The DS doesn't do any texture filtering. That's why the textures look like ass.
It does look pretty damn good for what the DS is, though. I think they did a good job.
It really does. Yeah, it really does. And I'm sure it's going to go over huge. It's fucking Final Fantasy. But I kind of hope that there's going to be, more games that actually attempt some serious 3D like that. I mean, look at Mario 64. It was the same fucking game. It looked great, except for, the textures were just a little off because, of course, it doesn't do some of what the N64 did. But, I mean, I know that if we can get games of that caliber on that goddamn thing, give them to us. I would play them.
Right. So Final Fantasy III is going to be great when that comes out. Also, Final Fantasy V Advance is coming out on November 1st, I believe.
That makes me ill.
You make
me ill. I played V.
Yeah.
I translated 5 for a while, and I was way into it, and then something jarred me out of it. I don't know. I got stuck or something and wasn't taking it too serious or whatever. But, I'm sorry. I've got this prejudice against GBA carts. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. It hangs out the bottom of my DS Lite. I'm not going to do it. I will not buy a game. I don't care how good it is. I'm not going to pack it on that giant cart because it won't fit in my little case for my DS Lite. It's just not going to happen.
Well, you could buy the cart so that you can legally own the ROM and then play it on your computer.
Exactly. That's what I need to do right there.
You don't want to play this on your computer. I mean, if you're going to play on your computer, you might as well play the Super Nintendo version. Why would you play the Game Boy Advance version? It makes no sense.
That's what I played. That's what I played before was the Super
Although
Nintendo.
With this, you have official translations instead of some dude in his basement.
Well, actually, the fan translation's supposedly better than the official one that's on the PlayStation 1 game. So that's
Jesus.
That's what they were saying in the
This is on a PS1 card or disc?
No. They made it on the PlayStation 1. Remember when they made Final Fantasy, was it Chronicles or Anthology?
Anthology.
Yeah, and it had 5 and 6.
Oh, then I have this already. It is 5 and 6, isn't
right,
it?
But this is a Game Boy Advance game. It's not the same
right, thing. I know. I was trying to think if I had it or not after that, and then I forgot. I have like 3 copies of that then.
Yeah, that's probably where you played it on the PlayStation 1, right?
No, I played the translated.
You actually played fan translated?
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, anyway, this is coming out. Apparently they're going to add...
Fuck, I'm looking right at it. It's over here.
That's sad. Now they're going to add some extra content to it, like they do with all the Final Fantasies on Game Boy Advance, which, for better or worse, that's what they're going to do. I don't know if it's going to be good. They're going to add some extra jobs. They're going to have another huge 100-level or 30-level dungeon that they've been putting in all the ones, another kind of Dawn of Souls-type dungeon. We'll see what happens when it comes out. The big one I'm waiting for is when they put Final Fantasy VI on the Game Boy Advance, which we're supposed to get sometime next year, and we'll see how that goes.
That's
but
bad.
As far as other games I want to talk about, Bully is coming out on Tuesday, which is the much-touted Grand Theft Auto in school from Rockstar. And
yeah.
I've been reading up on this, and it looks a little bit better than Grand Theft Auto. I mean, apparently it plays more like The Warriors, except it doesn't have the squad-based combat, obviously, since you're only one kid in high school. But what's cool about it is that as you play your character, like you play this kid, basically you play this 15-year-old kid in high school, and he's been moved to a prep school with a bunch of rich kids. And basically, you're not the bully, contrary to popular belief. You're just a kid who gets bullied by other kids, and you have to figure out a way to survive in this kind of rich prep school with a bunch of different cliques. Like you have the nerds, you have the geeks, you have the preppies, you have the bikers, you have all these different type of cliques. You have the high school, the cheerleader bitches. Who are,
they better be hot.
They look. I mean, you know, it's anime.
Is this only on the PS2 and the Xbox?
Actually, it's only on PlayStation 2. I think they canceled the Xbox version.
Okay.
Yeah. But the thing is, what's cool about it is that it's more of an adventure game than a Grand Theft Auto game. I mean, you do have missions in the game, obviously, Grand Theft Auto style. You have to go up to a certain spot and get missions from a guy, and he'll tell you to go here and get this and get this. But there's more of an adventure element where you can actually build up your guy. Like, for example, when he first starts out, he doesn't know any, like, you know, he doesn't know any hand-to-hand combat or anything like that. So if he has to get into a fight, he can get his ass kicked. But if you learn, if you actually go to the different classes, because there's like a real-time thing going on in this game where there's a day and night element, where you do have to attend class, and every time you attend class, you learn something new. So you can either choose to attend class and build up your skills. Like, for example, if you go to English class, you become more prolific. So if you get in trouble, you have a better dialogue tree of options to get out of getting in trouble. So you can make better apologies. If you go to chemistry class, you learn how to build more little gadgets and whatnot with your home chemistry set, so you can make stink bombs and other kind of crap. If you miss class, though, you don't learn any of this information, and you can get in trouble at the same time. So it's kind of cool, and then, of course, as the day goes on, you can do other activities, like you can do missions for, you know, the bad kids in town, or you can help the nerds. The nerds are getting bullied by the bad kids. You can help them out, and obviously it raises your standing with the different factions.
What else is cool about it is that I'm not so sure what to say, because it's like, well, on one hand, it's like the last period of my life that I would want to relive, you know, particularly in a fucking video game, is going to school, you know. But at the same token, it's like it would be a lot of fun to be able to just screw around without consequence, you know.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about this, is the whole screwing around. I mean, it actually, I don't know if anybody played this, it's an old game called The Adventures of Willie Beamish. It was on the PC a billion years ago. It's an old adventure game. Anybody remember that?
That sounds really familiar.
It does sound really familiar, but it also sounds like a Wayans Brothers character or something to me.
No. It's actually a really gorgeous looking game.
Beeman, Willie Beeman, that's what it's from. It's from Any Given Sunday.
No. Willie Beeman, yeah, I know what you mean. Jamie Foxx. No, no, this is Willie Beeman.
Yeah, yeah, that's who it was. Jamie Foxx. Yeah, no, I know. I know the name.
but I mean, that game, basically, you play a kid. Basically, it was an adult game where you played a kid and he can do anything he wants, but the graphics were great because it was one of those first cel-shaded games, kind of like Dragon's Lair in a way. But it was an adventure game where, like Monkey Island, you get to pick up stuff and you have to do different
things.
Right. Anyway, this game is similar to that in which you're playing a kid again as an adult doing all kinds of crap you wish you could have done as a kid. And you can do a lot of different little cool little things in this place, and it kind of acts like a real school because as the game progresses, time progresses. So you start at the beginning of the school year, and you have to get your faction up, you know, by, I guess, the end of the school year. I don't know how many chapters are in the game, but supposedly the first chapter is like September, and the second chapter is like October and whatnot. And as the game progresses, you can see different things. Like, there's actually season-specific missions. Like, there's a Halloween prank that you have to do. There's Christmas stuff you have to do. You have to decide whether or not to go home for Thanksgiving. That kind of thing. It kind of plays like you're actually this kid in high school doing all these weird little crap. And, of course, it's made by Rockstar, so it's going to have a bunch of, like, you know, cool little in-jokes to 90s references and all kinds of weird little shit in it. This looks like a really cool little game that it's different than what, you know, what people think it's going to be. It's not going to be Grand Theft Auto in school. It's going to be, I don't know what it's going to be, actually. The premise intrigues me.
It sounds like The Sims school.
Yeah, but fun. You know,
right, exactly.
Yeah, it's not like The Sims where you just get up and go to work and then come home and then go to sleep and then go to work again. I mean, I can do that in real life. You know, it sounds like you actually get to do stuff in this game.
That sounds really good. A lot better than exactly like you said, what everybody says this game is going to be. Every single person I know says, you're the school bully, it's GTA, and it's school. Every single person says that. Everybody.
Right, no, it's a little bit different. And the other game coming out on Tuesday is Family Guy. Now, of course, everybody knows Family Guy, the cartoon, and it's a real funny cartoon and a lot of irreverent humor, and it's just, you can't even describe Family Guy. It's hilarious. But games based on cartoons like Simpsons and Futurama generally suck. Now, we all know that, right?
Unfortunately.
Except for the arcade Simpsons game.
Except for the arcade Simpsons game, which is based on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
But in this game, apparently, it plays like an episode. Like, instead of just putting characters in some stupid situation and, okay, yeah, I'm playing as Fry here, this is actually an episode of Family Guy in which you can play, you play as Stewie, you play as Brian, you play as Peter. And each one has different skills. So Stewie is more of a platform-type character where he can do a bunch of different acrobatic moves and he has all kinds of little gadgets and whatnot. The Brian stages are more stealth-like because apparently, let me explain. There's an interweaving plot line involving Mr. Belvedere. That already makes me laugh, because it's fucking Mr. Belvedere.
Holy crap, that's awesome.
It's freaking Family Guy. So, apparently, Peter gets knocked out or something, and he thinks he has to kill Mr. Belvedere. I don't know what's going on with the plot. It's typical Family Guy. It's typical Family Guy craziness. But as the game goes on, let's say you start in the as Stewie. And Stewie has to do something to get to the top of the roof of his house, and then he knocks out Peter, and then you go to Peter's stages. So it kind of all the plot line interweaves with each other like it does in the show. But as it interweaves,
right.
you play as those characters. And then somewhere along the way, Brian gets sent to prison, so you have to play as Brian in a stealth element trying to escape from prison. And of course, it's written by the show's creators.
That's really
neat. And it has all the original voices from the cartoon, and the graphics look pretty good. You know, it's kind of that fake 3D, 2D cel-shaded graphic where it's the character is solid, but the background is flat. I don't know how they do that, but yeah, it looks really nice. Looks a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, let's hope too that it plays out really well too, because I was totally destroyed at that Futurama game.
Yeah, but they rushed that game, and I thought they were canceling that at one point, and then they decided not to cancel. There was a lot of problems with that game, remember? And that came like right when the show was canceled, and no one really cared, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little bit better than that.
That could be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should. I'm looking forward to it. I want to play a demo of it, see if it's good, though. And then,
what's it coming out for?
It's coming out for PlayStation 2, Xbox, and PSP. I don't know how the PSP version's going to be.
See what ass this is? Why the fuck does this come out on the Xbox and not the fucking Xbox 360 where we can actually play a demo of it?
I don't know. You can, I mean, they have to put something on the original Xbox to get people still buying it so they can, you know.
No, they don't. Hey, they don't even make them. They haven't made them for months.
The Xbox?
Yeah.
Really?
Any store that still has them, they were, like, leftovers in the back.
Dude, you haven't been able to get a new one from Amazon or EB or anything for, like, my God, 4 or 5 months, it seems like.
Huh.
Yeah, you cannot find one. Best Buy hasn't had one for ages. On their website or in a store. Forever.
Well, I mean, you should have an Xbox 360 by now, I guess.
Exactly.
What's probably going to suck about this, you probably can't even play this on the Xbox 360, though, so you're going to have an Xbox.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh? They don't have the emulation, probably, for that.
Exactly.
And
then, the other game I want to talk about was Battlefield 2142. I don't know if any of you guys are really into Battlefield. I remember you said you played it once, C4, and you liked the demo, but you didn't like the retail version, which, I don't know, I never played the retail version, so I don't know how that could be worse than the demo, but okay. I'll give that
one
to you.
It was buggy or something.
How is that even possible? It doesn't make any sense.
Dude, I do not know, but it was just ass. it was almost like in the retail game, like your reticle where you aimed was like not where you actually shot or something. It was I don't know, different. I mean,
demo,
it didn't play the same somehow. It
really
did, but it wasn't the same. It played the same. I can't say it didn't, because it did feel like you were playing the same game, but it was completely different.
Huh.
It sucked ass.
The new one's coming out, 2142, and obviously, since they keep increasing the year in these games, like in the first one you were in World War II, second one you're in modern combat, now you're in the future. But it's more of a, instead of like tribes, it's more of a realistic future, I guess. Well, you still have basic sniper rifles and assault weapons and whatnot, but they have mechs in this game now. And they also have little things like dropships and whatnot. And the demo mission that you can download right now, basically it's one map. And the plot is there's a dropship in the air that's huge. It's kind of like a capital ship. You have to somehow destroy the shields on the ship and then infiltrate the ship and blow it up. And obviously the other team has to defend it. And then you can do this a variety of ways. You can actually use your tanks and mechs and whatnot to pummel the shields on the ship, or pummel little bases around the ground to actually power the shields, and then launch one of your guys onto the ship in order to get to the core and then blow it up. Or you can just launch a straight-out assault with, I think you get stealth planes and usual helicopters and assault planes and whatnot to just kind of blow it up from the sky by just pummeling the shield and then just blowing it up with a bunch of weapons. What's cool, I don't know if the first one had parachutes. This one, you actually have parachutes in the game. So basically after you blow up the drop, it had a parachute?
Yeah, because I swear I jumped out of planes and parachuted down and shot people before.
Well, it's
that
cool in this game.
Familiar.
Yeah, this one has parachutes now. And I don't know. I don't know if it's the map they supply with the demo. The map looks like ass, and it's not just my graphics. It actually looks like ass because it's a very it's a very dreary map. It's like it's overcast, and you're in Egypt, so it's nothing but a bunch of browns, and it's a sand level. It's a sand level, so it doesn't really show off the whole power of the graphics of the game. But they previewed other. They previewed other maps, you know, in the demo. You know, when they have that. Oh yeah, you can go here, you can go here, and go here. They look pretty good. So I don't know. We'll see what happens when it comes out.
I know it's going to suck, because you know who did some of the beta testing for this?
Who did?
EA gave out, like, a certain number, I don't remember what the number was, but it was quite a few beta accounts to the Best Buy Geek Squad.
Oh, really?
That's kind of cool.
Your brothers and sisters. Yeah.
I remember, they had a whole bunch of them they gave out to members of that thing, and Final Planet, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I have no faith. I'm sorry.
I think
so you should have beta tested it.
Yeah, really.
I don't want to play Battlefield.
If you like
I gave one to somebody else.
If you like the Battlefield type games, you'll probably like this one. It doesn't look like it's anything different, and it's like they changed enough to alien people. Yeah, there's a demo. It's on Final Fantasy.
Oh, okay. Well, then play the demo and get it out of your system, and then just don't buy the retail, because it's going to suck. You know what I think it was? I think it was that one map was just fat, and then every other map just sucked. And that's why I think the demo was better, because we only had the one map that was good all the time. I don't know what it was. I'm not the only person who felt this way, though. There was a bunch of people that told me the same feelings about it.
I remember reading about it, and a lot of people say the same thing, and I don't know what the deal was.
It is. It's very bizarre.
You want to talk about some DS games, or are we running out of time?
Well, we ran out of time a while ago, so it's up to you, because I am dry. I think the only thing I wanted to talk... Well, I guess we could throw some DS games, and actually, you know what? We better not. We can save these for next time, because yours are cool, and mine sucks ass. So this gives me an excuse to try to get you on next week.
All right. Well, I just want to say one thing before next week comes out. Phoenix Wright. I don't know if anybody played Phoenix Wright. We'll talk about it more next week, I guess. But Phoenix Wright 2, Justice for All, I know was announced earlier this year. It should come out sometime next year here in America. But good news, you can actually buy it on PlayAsia.com for $29.99, the Japanese version. The Japanese version has both Japanese and full English. So... Wow. Yeah, you might as well. I mean, that's the reason why we bought DSs that are region-free. You can go ahead and get the Japanese version.
Wait, no,
full English,
not.
And... What do you mean?
That's not why I bought a DS.
No, but I'm... I'm missing my pitch here, man. Why are you fucking with me?
I'm sorry. That's like all I heard in the whole speech. I was sitting here reading the notes thinking, now I'm going to edit them. And all I heard was, that's the reason we bought DSs, they're region-free. And that's like all I heard.
You bastard.
Whoop.
Anyway,
I know.
Anyway, you can go ahead and get your Phoenix Wright 2 early. It's going to be the full English game and Japanese at the same time. Obviously, it's going to have a better case than the one we'll get, so that's kind of an incentive, too. And it's only $29.99 from PlayAsia.com, coming out on October 29th. So if you're like me and you're a huge fan of the game, go ahead and pick it up. It's going to be great.
I kept hearing about it. It sounded like it was going to be great, the original one, or the Ace Attorney one, but I never played it. I mean, you couldn't get it anywhere unless you wanted to pay $1 million on eBay.
Well, I have a bunch of notes on it because I've been playing the hell out of it recently, so we'll talk about it next week, though.
Cool. Oh, really? You guys are bastards. But I don't know, it doesn't look like something I'd really actually play for very long either, so I don't know, but I heard a lot of good things about it. But we're just going to have to save all that for next week. This worked out really well. I like this, having you on. You got a lot of crap to say.
Well, you know that. My
it's
theme,
all garbage and bullshit and wrong.
Yeah,
but,
it's all hearsay and just rumors, and I'm just and a lot of it's just me talking out of my ass. But hey, you know, it worked. It's the internet. It's the internet.
Awesome. All right, I don't even know how long this went because we don't have a timer.
A while.
I think it's 2.5 hours, or at least very close, like 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think. So we're gonna have to wrap this up now because I don't want to spend the entire day tomorrow trying to edit this monstrosity.
Oh, you will.
I know, I will, because I want to make it sound good, and we'll see how things go. All right, thank you very much.
Later.
Peace.
Peace out.